Blog Talk Radio.
Big Daddy Lipson was the man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny United had the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Which I could quarterback like Donnie Lou Jack or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the Galloping Ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tino, Allie Madison, hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sort of thing better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows, weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
Yeah, but coming at you with a new hot, fresh episode of CMT Fire Plan. We have a lot going on this week before we get our grub on tomorrow. Big Turkey Day coming up, gobble, gobble. Let me go ahead and introduce everybody. We got from the Lone Star State, Big Tex. What's going on, Juwan?
What's going on, buddy?
All right, all right. Coming at us from the snack capital of the world, Tampa, Florida. Mouth of the South, Clausville, Mathis. What's going on, man?
What's good? What's good, man? Excited show. Sorry I couldn't make it last week. Got a lot of research and stuff going on, but hey, I'm ready to get in tonight, man. What's good?
Okay, okay, yeah. You know, you were busy last week. I heard you had some new stunts going on, and you just couldn't make it through, right?
Yeah. I'm in this. I'm here in this for the break, though. I'm down for the break.
All right, let's go ahead and get this crack. We got a lot has gone on. Let's see, where do we want to start things off with? Let's start it off with a couple of reviews from last week. Had a couple of big matchups. Let's talk about this Texas A&M LSU game. It was a pretty good game. It kind of mattered. I mean, I don't know if it's gonna stand in the greater scheme of things when we look at things season wise. You know, it's gonna affect the SEC, of course. But I think we know Alabama's a big dog in that conference right now. LSU, they came out and they put the W up on A&M and. You know, Mettenberger, he had a good game, and they kind of slowed down your boy Johnny Superstar there. He wasn't
okay.
He wasn't himself. He one touchdown, two interceptions, horrible percentage, almost 30%, and he didn't break loose any of those. Signature runs of his. What did you take away from this game, Tex? I know you're a big LSU opponent.
Well, first off, I just want to say I still think Johnny Manziel is NFL ready. You know what? This is actually his second bad game of his career. Both of them have come versus LSU. You know, they just, you know, they, you know, LSU, while they lost a lot of players this past year on defense, they still have a lot of athletes. Not a ton of playmakers, but that'll come as they grow. But, you know, it's still the same old LSU defense. You know, on most Saturdays, they're able to stymie a lot of top offenses. And with their strength at the edge, you know, they can, they're a really good matchup for A&M. And Manziel, it's kind of like, and I'm not comparing Manziel to Vic, but it was kind of like, you know, how like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers used to be able to play Michael Vick. You know, the Bucs used to, you know, they had that speed on the edge. They had the agility in the middle. They had the speed in linebacker that if you could, you know, if you had a running quarterback, they were really able to stay in their lanes close windows and zone. Play a tad bit of man and just keep everything in front of them while keeping the quarterback from taking off for a whole bunch of yards. So that's kind of what it reminded me of. I still think A&M is a good squad. LSU is explosive on the offensive side of the ball. But people are looking at that game and they go, oh, man, this is what Manziel is going to see every Sunday and he can't handle this. And with me is, you know, it's like don't let one bad game, you know, affect how you feel about a guy. You feel that way about him or you don't. He got it handed to him by LSU, but this is the second time in his career. And, again, you know, but his poorest games have come against LSU, both of them.
That's a good point, Tex. I didn't really even realize that till you said it. I just now looked it up. He's really only had two bad games in his career. They're both against LSU. This is only his third time ever passing for under 60% in the game. Sometimes guys just have these guys' number, and it seems like LSU has his number. Clauzel, what'd you take away from this game?
Well, I didn't really get a chance to watch it too much. I'll give you Johnny Manziel. I mean, NFL ready, I guess. I mean, I would take him as a top pick. It just shows you the type of balance you have in the SEC. It's just a dynamic, dominant conference.
My goodness.
You know.
That's what that
this
shows
year it
you.
Is. Huh? Everybody thought LSU wasn't LSU, and you see they come out with a win like that, you know? It just shows you that LSU is still – I mean, they're not like LSU, but they ain't scrubs this year, you know?
I don't think nobody was really thinking that. I mean, they, you know, besides the loss to Ole Miss, any other loss – I mean, and even then, they only lost that game by 3 points. I mean, they, you know, we expect them to lose to Bama, but, I mean, like I said, you know, LSU, nobody was really sleeping on them. Like I said, I thought they might have had a better chance against Bama than people, but – you know, I don't know. Like I say, you know, LSU, they're gonna come to play ball. You know, that's one thing you can be sure about them. They're gonna.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a bad game for LSU. I mean, Texas A&M, and you know, I don't know. I'm not sure if Johnny Football is going to go straight to the league after this year. A lot of people say, yeah, he's going to do it after all the stuff he has to deal with. I really think to answer your question, I just kind of felt like I'm going from topic to answer your question. Basically, I just felt that Texas A&M, you know, they just had a bad game, man. I mean, it is what it is. But in regards to Johnny Football, people are saying that he's going to go to the league. So hopefully. Kevin Sumlin gets the MO to leave too, because you know I think he's going to get the blame if you know, when they start losing these games next year. If Johnny Football wasn't there this year, you know, they'd be trying to get rid of him, and you know, saying he's an undisciplined coach. You know, that's what they're going to do. You know, so I just hope that Sumlin's smart enough to realize to get the MO that, you know, if Johnny leaves, he probably has to leave behind him in order to keep the job. To keep his marketability up.
Yes, that could be true. The other big game we had was Baylor, Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma State came out and they drug Baylor. They put it on them. And right now they're in the driver's seat for the Big 12. This was a home game. Anybody that's really kind of been watching, Oklahoma State knows that, no game in Stillwater is a gimme anymore. Oklahoma State, they put themselves, they've pretty much established themselves as a football power. They've been constantly ranked in the top 10, in the top 25 since pretty much, since Gundy, the past maybe, 3 or 4 or 5 years. I didn't expect this kind of outcome, though. I thought it was going to be somebody got some beeping going on in the background?
Yeah, that was me. I'm sorry. I'm baking something. I'm good.
Okay. I didn't expect this kind of outcome. I thought it was going to be more of a shootout kind of game, high scoring, 34, 35, something like that. But Oklahoma State, they came out and they drugged these dudes. I wasn't expecting it to be like that. Like I say, and they really what happened was they stopped their run game, and that's really been the catalyst behind Baylor. Even though they've kind of been known as a passing game, Bryce Petty still had a pretty decent game. He threw for over 350 yards, but they stopped their rushing game flat. That was a major part of it. So like I say, right now, it looks like it's just going to be Alabama and FSU up there at the top. Ohio State too. I don't know. Ohio State's Ohio State's like the redheaded stepchild. Everybody keeps counting them out, but you never know. They might sneak in there. Tex, what'd you take away from this Baylor Oklahoma State game?
Well, I thought Baylor would win also, man. But goodness. Oklahoma State fields, they field a team. Their skill position talent, it goes head-to-head. If you talk about a quarterback, you're talking about two running backs, and you're talking about three wide receivers. I think collectively they go head-to-head with just about anybody in America. And they don't.
You talking about like for skill player, you said?
Yes.
You talking about Oklahoma State?
Yeah, you talking about quarterback?
I'm not going to lie to you, man. I haven't seen them play that much, so I can't really analyze them. So I it's just funny the way you said that. You want to compare them with Alabama and Florida State.
Yeah.
But, hey, I understand. I haven't seen them play, though.
Yeah,
you might have a point.
Well, they keep sending guys to the NFL.
Yeah, okay.
There's Brian, Justin Blackman, Kendall Hunter.
No, I'm talking about this year. No. We're talking about this year. No, I'm not talking about the past. I'm talking about this year.
Well, in the past, yeah, they've had these skill guys.
No, I'm talking about this year. I'm talking about this year.
I know.
You said.
I understand. But what I'm saying is they didn't just show up overnight with skill position talent. Oklahoma State always has skill position talent. You know what I'm saying? They always
are. These phone lines are thick, yo. All right, I'm listening.
Like I said earlier, no game in Stillwater has been a gimme for, I'd say, about 5 or 6 years, really. They've been putting out. It pretty much started. Tex probably knows when they beat Oklahoma in the. I forget it was like 2008. They kind of like changed the fortune of their team, and they've been getting. They've been pulling cats ever since, man.
Mm-hmm.
Guys from down here in Dallas going up there to Stillwater.
I just wanted to say, nobody ever said that they didn't have talent. I just want to make sure I get that clear. I don't want the listeners here, because I know that these little callers are coming in to chime in on me. But they have talent. But when you said this year, player for player, they can compete with an Alabama on the skill position level.
I'm talking about their skill position talent. I'm just talking about just talent. If you go 1, 2, 3 in wide receivers, you go 1, 2 in running backs, and you go quarterback, you can put them up against anybody in the nation like that.
Okay.
Yeah,
I got respect for them. I'm not talent, man.
You know, yeah, they put out major talent.
All right, hold on. I'm going to get this phone line real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me put this phone line real quick. I got James here first. I'm going to get you next, Watley, all right, because he came in first. What's good, James?
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, I'm going to go backwards with the two games. With the thing with Baylor and Oklahoma State, I didn't expect Baylor to not even basically show up, even though, you know, they didn't really have a couple of their skill position players available for the game. I still thought that they would have been able to have some success on offense, but it seemed like the defensive front seven of Oklahoma State was able to dominate them early. And with that, I mean, Baylor just didn't have a chance after that because they couldn't convert third downs and they couldn't, you know, do anything for fourth downs either when it was fourth and short. So I would say that Oklahoma State really looks like a great team right now for this year. And as far as, like, skill positions, I would pretty much say that they can because they usually push out, you know, players that are ready and geared for the pros. So I get that comparison with Oklahoma State's skill positions compared to anybody else's in the country. Now, in reference to the LSU-Texas A&M game, I didn't really, you know, watch that much of that game, but I kind of expected LSU to win. As one, I didn't trust Texas A&M's defense. They've been pretty much, you know, the worst defense in the country as far as, like, top 25 teams. Their team has pretty much been the worst defense in the country. So I kind of expected LSU to beat them. So that wasn't much of a surprise right there.
Okay. Yeah, it does, like I say, they lost a couple of guys from last year's team. You know, like Demontre Moore, who were really difference makers on that defense. So it does, you know, does seem like their defense has lost a step. You know, like Clausell said, that might be the Achilles heel for Kevin Sumlin. So, you know, he might be wanting to hightail it on out of there. Who knows?
Absolutely.
You know, he can't put that D back together.
Right.
Let's go ahead and put you on hold, James, and we'll bring in, I think this is
Wiley here. This is Wiley.
What's up,
hey,
fellas?
What's going on, Tony?
We'll start with the Baylor, Oklahoma State. Bottom line, the Big 12 is irrelevant.
I mean,
y'all can sit here and y'all can talk about how Baylor beat Oklahoma State and Ohio and Oklahoma beat Texas and Texas Tech beat Kansas State. It doesn't matter. They're irrelevant. All 12 teams suck. All 12 teams suck.
You don't say.
And ain't none of them going to be in the national championship. We are one game away from conference titles. So can we stop talking about cupcakes and focus on champions?
Yes. Let's focus on that.
Please.
Well, this
hold
up.
You know,
I will say this.
Don't even matter. If they're not making it to the championship game for their conference, it don't even matter. So we're one game away from conference championships. Let's focus on that.
The funny thing too is, Tony, some teams aren't even going to make a bowl game or finish over 500.
I feel you. I completely feel you. And that's why I say let's not focus on those teams. Let's not even discuss them.
Let's focus on the ones
that matter.
Our next segment, we're going to focus on one of them. I just got this one team I want to focus on the next segment. But we'll go ahead and hold that off till later.
There's one you need to talk about?
Yeah, we'll focus on that later, though.
I want to follow up because I was on the Cold Hard Truth yesterday talking about this. The SEC right now, I mean, at the beginning of the year, everybody was talking about the Pac-12 maybe being better than the SEC, but clearly after all the games have been played, clearly the SEC is still the best conference right now. That's what I've came out of this season in terms of the conference battle. It's clearly
well,
the SEC.
I know in the beginning of the season, there was a top 10 SEC team that somebody on here kept saying was overrated. And I believe a couple of weeks after that, I said, somebody said that they wouldn't win any more games, and they haven't. But we'll get
no,
to
I
that
said,
next
you, no, it's not me. Are you talking about Missouri? No, I was the one that was saying Missouri's good, and you guys were saying, who have they played? That was you, if you're talking about Missouri.
No,
I was the one that said,
that.
Hey.
Like I said, well, let's hold on that to the next segment. I want to see if Tony.
Okay.
Tony, did you have anything to say about LSU, Texas A&M?
I really do think Johnny Football is legit. I think. He makes Texas A&M legit, but at the same time, LSU is still LSU, even though LSU might be a little less potent as they've always been. You cannot underestimate the LSU Tigers, and I think that game against Texas A&M shows that, and I really think Texas A&M goes – wins five games next year when Johnny Football goes to the NFL.
Okay. I want to put you on hold, Tony, for 2 minutes because I'm going to come right back to you. I have something I want to mention to you, and it's going to be pretty fun. Hold on.
All right.
I want to bring in another caller from the 704. All right, you're on with CNT Firestorm.
No, that's Jim. James.
Okay, let me go ahead and put it on hold. Bring in another 813. Hi, y'all. CMT Firestorm.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, I'm surprised. Oh, hey, man. How's it going? Right, whatever. Taylor stunk it up. I thought they were going to win by at least two touchdowns, but Oklahoma did a very good job at first stopping their run because they're a run-first team. They stopped run, and that negated any passing that Petty was going to do, and that's pretty much where it stopped. Baylor did a horrible job making adjustments at halftime. That big offensive line weren't getting their blocks. They were getting beat off the ball. The linebackers were in the backfield. You know, the Cowboys played a really tough game at home and executed really well, and Baylor just didn't show up.
Yeah.
What was the other game that you were talking about?
Texas A&M, LSU.
Oh, yeah. LSU. That's right. I think it's LSU. There you go.
Okay.
I really don't have anything else to say about that.
Okay.
But I do want to get into one topic. We can hold it off till later, but who the hell is Watley talking to we about? He's a Gator fan.
Hold on one second, man. We'll get to that.
Watley needs to refrain from using we. Unless he's talking about the game.
No,
The last time I checked, we usually happens
when your team is doing bad, and you want it to be a we instead of a them and a.
Oh, yeah.
Because
they're doing as good as Kentucky this year, because they have about the same record as Kentucky. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna
go right into that in 1 second, though. Let me put you on hold. I wanted to say, though, you know, when you talk about these matchups, you know, you got to look at Oklahoma State was – they were ranked 10th in the country. You know, Baylor was ranked number 4. That's not a major surprising loss. I mean, like I say, you know, it's funny that – you know, you can get an underranked LSU team who could beat Texas, you know, Texas A&M, who was, like, higher than them, and nobody says nothing about it. But, you know, Baylor can lose Oklahoma State, and the world stops turning. You know, there are two top 10 teams. I mean, somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose. We've seen bigger losses than that. And speaking of bigger losses, let's move into our next subject. My goodness. Now, Clausell, you're just talking about the SEC in the beginning of the season. And in the beginning of the season, the Florida Gators were ranked number 10 in the country. And
I think it was a good position for them.
Highly overrated, and that it was SEC bias. And you told me there is no such thing. Now, this past week.
No, it's not no SEC bias this year, no.
This past week.
I'm going to tell you
ranked,
why.
They were preseason ranked top 10, which is a bias because they were highly overrated. And
well, they weren't. They were 10-2
week,
last year.
Okay, well, either way. This past week, they lost to, is that the Georgia Bulldogs? Oh, no, not the Georgia Bulldogs. They lost to Georgia Southern, a D1AA school that plays FAMU. Okay?
They don't play FAMU, but they all FAMU's level.
And they not only lost to them, Georgia Southern had zero passing yards. This is another example of SEC bias too. I want to give you. If you remember, 5 years ago, Michigan lost to Appalachian State, and it was the end of the world. It cost Lloyd Carr his job. Remember, it was all over every sports channel. That's all everybody was talking about for weeks, and you got to remember that.
And you tell me this ain't all over everybody's gum.
Not as big as a Michigan loss. And let me.
I don't know
something.
About that. I disagree.
Hold on, no. Come on, bro. That Michigan loss was everywhere, dude. And Appalachian
State. Michigan's loss is everywhere too.
Hold on, one second.
Keep going.
Appalachian State was in the midst of winning three straight D1AA national championships when they beat Michigan. Even though there's still no excuse for a 1AA team beating, a big school. Florida lost to a Georgia Southern team that is 7-4. Which means they're not even good in D1AA. And they beat the Gators at home. How do you explain that, Clausell Mathis?
Hello?
Yeah, how do you explain that?
I'm sorry, I had got on hold real quick. Well, okay, I understand the question, though. Sorry about that. How can I explain that? Oh, the issue is that Florida they just lost confidence in themselves. I mean, at the end of the day, talent-wise, they're just as good as anybody in the country in terms of defense, on the defensive side of the ball. And you can even make a case on the offensive side of the ball, too, except for at the quarterback position. But they're talented either way. They're on the Alabama-level talent, Florida State-level talent. But, you know, they just lost their confidence. Ever since they lost to Miami, they had to go on the road. All their games that they won, all the big games they won last year, it was at home. All the big games they had to play this year, it was on the road. They had to go to South Carolina on the road. They had to go to LSU on the road. They had to
those games don't really matter.
They had to go to Miami on the road. So
let's talk about this. Let's talk about this home game that they played against Georgia Southern, and they lost.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the result of all these games. That's the result of them losing the confidence that they had.
So a D1AA loss is the result of them playing a regular schedule.
No, it's the result of them losing confidence in themselves. It's the result of them losing confidence in themselves and not wanting to play for the coach they're playing for and not wanting to even play in the season that they want to play in anymore. That's what is a result of that. So they were not coming in the game focused at the end of the day. They probably
took
the team for granted.
There's an internet meme out there of two players from the Gators blocking each other on the same game.
I know. Well, think about it. Nnamdi Azamwa. Let me equate that to Nnamdi Azamwa. Nnamdi Azamwa was once considered one of the best DBs in the league. He had a few slumps. He lost his confidence, and he got cut by the San Francisco 49ers. He didn't even make the roster. So
Nnamdi
Azamwa
had a major injury. It was never the same afterwards.
But the point I'm saying is he admitted that he lost his confidence. When you lose your confidence, you're nothing. It's gone.
But he had
a major injury and came back. Yeah, but talent wise, if they can get their confidence back, they can be back to being Florida Gators. I think next year you'll see a better Gator team. You'll see a better Gator team because they have to accept.
That doesn't explain this Georgia Southern loss.
Okay, yeah, I won't go into next year. What I'm saying is this loss is a culmination of them losing their confidence. At the end of the day, that's what this loss is a result of.
I think it's a culmination of overrated SEC teams.
No, I disagree. I think that the SEC is clearly the best conference. I mean, you can't even dispute that this year.
Florida was
overrated this year. Clearly.
Florida was highly overrated. That's not,
well, the
that's
Florida's not,
not
even one of the better SEC teams this year. Florida's not one of the better SEC teams.
Apparently they were, because you just said they were 10-2 last year and they were a top 10 team in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, talent-wise,
so
they're one of the
best.
Talent-wise, they're one of the SEC better teams, player for player, but the in regards to performance on the team, team chemistry, things like that, they're not one of the better SEC teams right now.
Now, wait a minute.
But
you
clearly,
just now
the
laughed.
SEC.
You just now laughed when Tech said Oklahoma State could match up with other teams, skill position, player for player. But yet you're going to say the same thing for a team that just lost to a D1AA school.
No, let me make sure I'm on the same page. I don't think I'm on the same page. Team for player, Florida is at the top of the SEC. They have talent, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. But in regards to team chemistry, who's the better team? The way the team operates, they're not one of the better teams. No.
So in terms of team, Georgia Southern's a better team than Florida, then, right? Is that what you're
saying?
They
probably have better team chemistry. They probably have better team chemistry at Georgia Southern than they do at Florida. Yes, that's better. That's
so they're a better team than Florida, then, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can make. They don't have better players, but they have better teamwork.
But you just said in terms of team, they're a better team than Florida, then, right? By what you're saying.
In terms of team chemistry, they're a better team. Yes.
That's double talk. Let me bring in this guy who I really want to talk to about this subject. Let's see.
I know James is a whole too. He's about to say something too.
Let me try.
Do I get to talk, or do you get to talk over me?
No, I'm gonna rant. I'm gonna rant for a little while longer.
Because,
you have
okay,
to talk
you
this
rant,
whole
not
season.
Listen, and then
you've been
let
talking
me talk
this
and
whole
listen.
Season. You've been talking this whole season.
Okay.
Your team got drugged by a D1AA school.
Okay.
You guys stink.
Okay.
You're
tell
talking about conference stuff now. You try to say you're not worried about teams. You said 2 weeks ago that you guys would beat Florida State. You can't even beat Georgia Southern. You guys are garbage.
Keep going.
University
going.
Of Florida is the worst
get
team
it all
in the
out.
Country.
Get it all out.
They're the worst team
get
in the country.
Out.
They stink, and they're full of murderers.
All right. Come on. Keep going.
Okay. And now you guys are trying to sabotage. I believe it's University of Florida trying to sabotage Jameis Winston too. By the way, I'm gonna go ahead and throw that
oh,
in.
Wow.
And
wow.
We about
okay.
to get into that.
Yeah.
We are about to get into that, boy. Oof. Anyway,
wasn't it confirmed that the lawyer was a university?
All out of you so that when I get to talk.
Yes.
Hold on, Tony Causell. Causell, wasn't it confirmed that
yes,
the lawyer
is confirmed. The lawyer is a Gator.
University of Florida alum?
The lawyer is a Gator.
Thank you. Okay, now go ahead, Tony.
Anyway, is it my turn yet?
Yes, you'll go.
Yes, but no.
All right, now I'll let you get all yours out. First and foremost, if we go about a month and a half back,
my goodness,
I told you that we had lost two games in a row. We lost to LSU. We lost to Missouri. I told you that right then the team was having problems internally, coach. And I told you there was a rebellion coming. Then we lost to Georgia. And I told you on that night, I said, the team is making statements. I even went on Facebook and said the same thing. The next week, we played Vanderbilt in Gainesville for homecoming. We lost to Vanderbilt. I came on this show, and I went on Facebook, and I said, I have been saying it, that the players on the University of Florida's team is making a statement to the administration that they want a change. I'm not going to get into what they want. I'm just saying this is their way of saying they want a change. Then we had to go to South Carolina, and then we came back home again. And you keep saying this, you lost to a D-double-A, 2-A, whatever. Let me explain something first and foremost. It's 11 players on the field no matter what division they're in. If they're playing you, you got to realize for those guys at Georgia Southern, this was their championship. This was their championship. They're going to play like champions today because they're playing the Florida Gators. These guys have always dreamed of being a Florida Gator or playing against the Florida Gators. This was their dream come true. They're going to play the best they can possibly play. Florida, on the other hand, had lost 5 games in a row, and they had something else on their mind other than Georgia Southern. And I keep trying to make you guys, I've said this week after week after week after week, there are other things going on at the University of Florida other than football right now for that football team. And they're trying to make it very clear to the administration and to Foley that they want a change. And what better way to make them understand it than to lose to Vanderbilt and to lose to Georgia Southern at home? And that is what's going on. You guys want to just focus on the games? These guys ain't really worried about the games no more. They know they're not going to no playoffs. They know they're not in the championship hunt. They know they're not in the SEC hunt. Right now, they are just making a statement to their bosses, to our administration, saying, we want this guy gone. That is what's going on right now. Now, you can see it how you want to and call it what you want to, but I think that's what's going on at Florida right now.
And let me pick you off of that. I mean, I think you I don't – I kind of see where you're coming from, and I kind of agree with it. I mean, because, you know, Muschamp could be a fireball. And you know how it is with fireball coaches. If you're not winning with these fireball coaches, it's really, you know, it's kind of like he comes in one ear and he leaves out the other kind of thing, you know. So,
wait a minute.
I mean,
why was nobody saying this team was in a revolt after they beat Tennessee or after they beat Kentucky or after they beat – why did they guys
It was early in the season. When they lost to LSU, everybody expected them to lose to LSU. Then they went and lost to Missouri, and that's when I told you they've lost 3 in a row. They're about to start crumbling because then they had 3 losses on the year, which means they knew they weren't going to win the SEC East. And right then is when it started. When they lost to Missouri is when it started.
Okay. Hey, Tony, did you see this movie that came out a couple of years ago with Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan?
No, which one?
It was called Cop Out. Let me put you on hold real quick.
Sure.
Let's bring in another caller here. I want to bring in my boy James, see what he's talking about. Maybe he might speak some sense to you. James, you on there? Hello? Hold on 1 second. Can I get a problem with your studio, I'm sure. James, what's going on, man?
All right.
Can you speak some sense? Can you please speak some sense out to this crowd? Because things are getting kind of crazy in here.
Yo, hello?
Yeah.
All right. Let me get one thing straight right here, okay? I have a very, very difficult time buying that a team is basically going to sit out a game against a team that lost to Wofford.
especially when NFL scouts are looking.
Exactly.
That's number one.
I was just about to
say that's
a big point,
okay.
too.
Now, number two, that whole thing about a team like going, like not even or overlooking a Georgia Southern or anything like that and saying that, oh, it's Georgia Southern Super Bowl and that type of thing, so we might as well just, you know, go ahead and not even go into that thing like at full strength or whatever it is. I don't care if you have the third or fourth string guys on a Florida team. You're still supposed to be able to smash Georgia Southern. I don't care what statement you're trying to make. You understand? Because that is the same thing that Carlisle keeps on saying about Alabama that went to that Sugar Bowl against Utah.
Oh, please. It's the truth, man. It's the final truth, James.
And I'll say the same thing about that then I'll say about this. If you're going to back down and not even show up against the Georgia Southern, then you need to apologize to every single person that stepped into Ben Hill Griffin Stadium to watch that game.
Oh, yeah.
Or better yet, like I said, if they're that sick and tired, why didn't they just pull a Grambling and not even show up and just forfeit?
And not even show up. Hey, you want to make
and you might as well. They might as well have done that because they didn't want to play for it. They felt like they were
to those administrators, then don't even go into the facilities. Don't even lift a weight in the weight room. Don't even show up.
Yeah.
If you want
to
make
oh, come
statement.
On, man. Now, hold up. First of all, hold up now. You can't even equate to that. Okay, I understand that you might as well not go, but come on, man. If you have a job, if you got a scholarship, you got things, you have responsibilities, and if you don't do these responsibilities, you're back at home.
Hold on.
So you trying to tell me that, you know, you're just going to quit and just don't do anything? Come on, man. I mean, you may not want to do it, but you got to do it. So, I mean, come on, man. You know the situation with Florida.
Wait a minute.
They didn't want to play that game. They felt like the season was a wash, so they just
you heard about it in other places. I haven't heard anything about discourse in University of Florida except from you and Tony Watley. And I look for it. Nothing's in the media. There's no anonymous anything from players. Nothing. Only you two are saying this.
No, they lost. Hold on. First of all, I'm not making excuses. They lost. They just didn't have any. You want me to explain why they lost? They lost the confidence in themselves. I'm not making any excuses. They lost the game.
No.
What do you mean it's an excuse? That just explains why they lost. There's no excuse that they lost the game.
They
still got the loss.
They lost confidence,
right.
This and that.
They didn't want
to
play. They don't
want to
play anymore. They don't want to play anymore.
That's like a grown man. That's like a grown man getting beat up by a baby because he didn't have confidence to beat the baby up.
That's not true. That is not the truth. That's like a guy going to a job that he don't want to be at. That's basically what it is. It's the same as a guy going to a job he doesn't want to be at. He's
so
going to do a horrible job.
So if I'm a boxer and I don't want to box, I'm just supposed to let the other man beat me up? I'm not even supposed to defend myself?
Yeah, but you're not going to put your best
soldier. I don't want to be a soldier. I'm just supposed to let the other guy shoot me because I don't want to be a soldier.
You're not going
to
let him shoot you,
that.
But you're not going to train the best. You're not going to put your best effort in there. That's what it boils down to.
But it doesn't matter, Clausell. When you're, this isn't like a regular job where you just go ho hum. This is football where you can get physically hurt. Where you get physically hurt if you're not playing to your full potential. And like Tech said, you got NFL scouts watching these cats. You mean to tell me that Ronald Powell and all these cats they wanted to come out and look bad for the past five games? Who are seniors and who aren't?
They didn't
want to
look bad, but they don't want to play for this coach right here. They don't want
to
play anymore. They don't want to play anymore.
They're seniors.
I don't even
want to
argue about this no more because it's really kind of ridiculous to even argue about this anymore. They lost the game. Frankly, they lost it.
Tex, what do you think about
the
Gators?
Hold on.
Tex, what do you think about the Gators, man?
It's just like I said, man. I haven't heard anybody saying what you're talking about, what Wiley and Clausell talking about, that is a bunch of discourse. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You have to come play because I mean you might be playing for your scholarship for the new coach that comes in. You understand what I'm saying? But you're playing for these NFL scouts. They're here to see you. They come to see you play and they come to see you perform. They want to know if they can trust you in hard times. You know, in the NFL, if you're on the team and. You know, and things don't go how they're expected. So
for millions of dollars.
Hello?
You're breaking up, Tex. Hello?
Yeah. You hear me?
Okay. Go ahead and finish up, James.
All right. Now, the other thing that I wanted to bring up is that it's funny how, you know, somebody could bring up something about what happens to a school or a football team when a couple of weeks ago they had all the confidence in the world that this team would go ahead and beat a team in Tallahassee coming up this weekend and then put in something and say something to the extent of put your money where your mouth is. Right? So, in that case, somebody stepped up and said, put up or shut up. So if you want to go in with confidence that, hey, since it's a rivalry game and since it's a rivalry game, you can throw the records out the window, okay then. Let's see what's up.
Well, no, I'm not the one that was Wiley, the one that said, Wiley wants to get back on now. Wiley wants to get back on bad, too, now. Hold up. I'm not the one that said Florida State was going to lose to Florida. That was Wiley, man. You know, hey, he's a homer. So, I mean, it is what it is. He wants to get back on, too. He sent me a message. But the thing is,
you and Wiley are on the same team, so you all get the same treatment.
Oh, please. But the thing is this. Okay. It will be good for about a quarter. The game will be good for about a quarter because Florida is probably going to be offended on the as far as the defense, to how the spread is so large. But then by the end of the first quarter, Florida State is going to be too much for them. I mean, they don't want to play for this guy no more. That's all I have to say on this.
So, like I said, so you mean to tell me, like I say, fourth and fifth year seniors and juniors who aren't going to come back next year will be willing to risk their draft status and their future to tank a season to be mad at a coach. But yet
not consciously, but I'm just saying they're just frustrated.
Hold on. Yet they wouldn't say anything in public, no anonymous tidbits, no from the locker room or
of course you're not going to say anything public. Right? You're going to be looked bad. You're going to be looked bad upon.
No,
you're going to be looked worse
usually
upon.
When this happens, somebody will say something anonymously, and you'll hear about it. They'll be like, a player from such and such said this. You haven't heard any of this about University of Florida. Like I say,
it's a small town.
Literally the only place I've heard this from are you and Tony Wiley.
Okay. I mean, I don't really care about this. To be honest with you, I really don't even care about this topic. To be frankly honest with you, I really don't, man. I really don't. Okay, if you really think I care about this, I want to talk about Winston, but I really could care less about,
okay, well,
you know,
let me put you all again. I want to bring in a couple more callers. Let me bring in Steve. Is this Steve at 704?
No, it's what? It's Jehu. Jehu. He ain't talking.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oops.
Oh, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on?
We're talking about this University of Florida loss, man.
Well, what I'm really interested in, I'm waiting for you guys to get on it, is to start talking a bit about the ACC championship, FSU, if Jameis Winston's going to play, and if they're going to win that game.
Okay, well,
right, we're going to talk about it in a minute, man.
I'm going to put you on hold. I'll bring you back. We're going to talk about Jameis and all that stuff right next. Let me put back. I think this is, call it up and all. Let me bring it here. Is this Matt?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, Matt? Okay, I'm talking about this University of Florida madness. And apparently college football players don't want to play for their team, and that's the only reason SEC schools can lose, because they don't want to play. So
apparently whoever came up with that notion is a damn fool.
Agreed.
Tell me, at one point, and you know, it's funny because I talked about this to an extent on my show last night. James kind of came on and said, kind of echoed what I said on my show last night. At what point in time, I mean, Florida's been a top 10 recruiting class over the last 3 years. Every year, top 10. So you're telling me that the people on the fourth and fifth string and stuff like that can't beat some one- and two-star recruits in an FCS school? You serious? I'm not buying into it.
Yeah, not even one and two star recruits either. One and two star recruits will go to like Cal and stuff like that. These are zero star recruits and walk ons at Georgia Southern.
Hey, I read this post because I didn't get a pour on Wiley much. I read this post that said, "What kind of battery does it take to beat Florida? One AA?" I laughed.
And, you know, like I was saying, and Clausell swears that it wasn't, but have you noticed that the fallout from this game isn't anywhere near as big as it was from when Michigan lost to Appalachian State?
And you know what? That's the funny thing, because I got a text message from Michigan, and they said, man up, Florida. I don't know. Random text. Didn't expect that one.
Now, the fallout is just as bad for
Florida.
The fallout is just as bad for
this. And just to kind of go back, hold on. What this all originated from, what we were talking about, Marcel was talking about the conferences. I was going over this on, like you said, on the show last night too, and I ranked the top six conferences. And I think this year, based on the team's overall conference, it goes Pac-12, SEC, and Big 12 are tied, then the ACC, then the Big 12, and then the AAC. It goes in that order.
Well,
and
who's second? You said
at,
SEC.
And I looked, I looked at the overall conference, the Pac-12 has four teams that are not going to be bowl qualified. Also, the Big 12 has four teams. Also, the Big Ten has six teams that aren't qualified. Oh yeah. Also, another team that has six teams that's not qualified, the SEC. The SEC conference, for always, is like a bobblehead. Big and fun at the top, stagnant and boring at the bottom. That's what it is. It'll always be like that. They're no different and no better than any other conference. It's just people seem to think, down here in the Southeast, they're the only thing that exists. That's why Clausell can't talk on the Cowboys, because he doesn't pay attention to them. That's why he probably,
exactly.
Before I told him Scott Frost was the offensive coordinator for Oregon, he had no idea who it was, and then I had to remind him that Scott Frost won a national title. He played for Nebraska. And
oh, I knew
I
that.
1997. Okay.
I know that.
He Wikipedia'd it. I
said, oh, please.
I got you.
Come on, man. All right, whatever, man. Whatever.
So I get it. You guys, the TV, I'll blame the TV markets. You know, they only show that kind of stuff down here. You can't get, wait, no way, I have Big Ten Network. That's probably why. I have the Big Ten Network and the Pac-12 Network, and, you know, I get those. And I watch those games. But I like college football, not just SEC football.
Exactly. And that, you know, like I say, and that goes to a major part of, like I say, I do realize, like I say, when I was down there and I was in Florida, that pretty much you would get like the major Pac-10 game or Big 12 game. But recently, like I say, a lot of these games come on late. I don't know if guys are watching, you know, football games that, you know, if the game come on here at 9 o'clock out here, that means it's gonna be on at 12 o'clock out there. So I can understand that, you know, in that sense. But, you know, like I said, it's just the way, I mean, think about it. I got told earlier this season, I got told how good Tennessee was, and they're 4-7 now.
Yeah.
I got told Kentucky would have promising teams, and they're 2-9.
I never said that about Kentucky. I said Tennessee.
No.
Okay.
You said
well,
that they were going to have a nice
seven.
Year. And then you
no, I said they're
going to
play Oregon.
Was,
no, I said they're going to beat. I said they're going to play Oregon tougher than a lot of people think, and I was wrong. All right, I was wrong. You guys said Georgia was going to beat Auburn. You said Georgia was going to beat Auburn. You said I was crazy when I said Jameis Smith might be the first pick in the draft. And then Mel Kiper said it right
behind
me.
Just dawned on me.
Okay,
just dawned on me. Just talking about down here.
Saying Tennessee, Oregon is going to be close is a lot different than saying Georgia is going to beat Auburn when Auburn won off a last second Hail Mary, unexplicable alarm bomb. Don't you think so?
No, hey, who lost the game? It doesn't matter. They lost the game. That's an excuse, remember? Just like you were saying earlier, it's an excuse.
That's not an excuse.
All right,
now
I
want to... Hold on, let me
say something real quick. You know, you bring up the regional thing when you live down here. I'm from Nebraska. We have Nebraska football, and that's it. But I've never lived in a state where all week long I can watch that same game from Saturday all week long, because they're constantly airing the games down here. And I've never seen that happen before. I don't know. Maybe that's just being
well, they do it on the Pac-12 network. They do it on all these networks. You can always see
yep.
different
no, 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 no. I'm talking about this is Bright House that does it. It's the Bright House. It's a Fox – the Fox Network. But no, I mean Nebraska had the same. They had a contract with NetTV, but you only saw it the day of the game. And if it was a non-air game, you had to buy it on pay-per-view. So,
man,
I don't know, maybe Nebraska was making a lot more money off their games.
it's
making people pay for it.
I mean, it's definitely propaganda comes down here. Well, like I said, with the football thing, there's another difference. And there's really a reason, like I say, why people always say that there's better football and better athlete to come from the South. I don't want to get into that on this show, though. So let me put you on hold, man.
I agree.
I want to bring back in Tony Whatley to end up this University of Florida segment. Mr. Whatley.
I have sit and heard people bash for the last 25 minutes. So let me get a little bash back in. First and foremost, watching a Big 12 or a Big 10 football game is like watching a fat girl take a shower. it's not interesting at all. As a matter of fact, it kind of makes your stomach upset. So when you want to say that those games are as interesting as watching SEC games, we'll say N-O-T apostrophe. You must be crazy. Secondly, we can be a bobblehead because all you guys are pencil necks. Because at least got enough teams to be the bobblehead. You guys don't even have enough teams to be a bobblehead. Tell me the last time y'all won a national championship. So bobble on that head. Now,
when you say y'all, are you talking about conference or are you talking about the Florida Gators? Because that's what
I'm talking about. All
talk
y'all
about.
That want to talk about how the SEC ain't the best conference. Whoever's on this radio and whoever's listening to this that thinks that you have a better conference in this country that's better than the SEC, I'm telling you, you crazy. Straight from my mouth to your ear.
Okay, you're right. I agree with you. Now let's get back to the Florida Gators. Now, what do you have to say about them?
Okay, I've already explained to you the situation. My question is this. Everybody's got jokes. Everybody says Florida sucks. Everybody wants to say, oh, Georgia State. My question is this. What are we going to hear next week after Florida beats Florida State on Saturday? That's the conversation I want to have. I want to hear what y'all going to say about Florida State when Florida beats Florida State next week. Oh, it was a fluke. Oh, this happened. Oh, that happened. Oh, it was a mistake. Oh, Jameis got hurt. Oh, it's always an excuse. But I want to know, all of a sudden, when you got the number one team in the country, get that ass whooped by a sorry team that lost to a 2AA, I want to hear what y'all got to say next Wednesday.
I'm going to say, so you mean to tell me University of Florida would not step up to get beat by a D1AA school, but they're going to beat Florida State next week? Is that really what you're trying to say?
I'm on the record with it. I don't told you. Florida will beat Florida State in the swamp. I'm on the record.
So basically, your whole argument about them not wanting to play, you're going to invalidate that for one game.
I'll say this. They're going to cover the spread. They will not. Florida State will not beat them by 30 points, but they'll beat them more like 20. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
I do not think that.
All right. Like I said, I need everybody to be on here next Wednesday. I need everybody to show up. Matt, make sure you show up, baby. Don't be babysitting next Wednesday. No babysitting.
Everybody
on here next Wednesday.
Hold up. I want to say this. Florida don't want to play no more. But at the same time, right. they may flip the switch for Florida State. They got two shutdown corners. Okay, Florida State got receivers. They got two shutdown corners.
Clauville,
they will stop the run.
Clauville, please don't do that.
They got two shutdown corners at Florida. They do have two shutdown corners.
This game is all about pride, and I can promise you those seniors will step up.
What are you talking about? They do have two shutdown corners. Georgia Southern can throw the ball. So what I'm saying is Georgia Southern could throw the ball.
Come on, man.
Yeah, Georgia Southern could. Hold up.
Tony's a fan of University of Florida, so I can see him making this argument as deluded as it is.
No,
but come on,
I haven't told any. Come on, why? Mike, well, listen to me out,
you
man. I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna tell you why in an objective manner.
As an analyst, I'm gonna tell you why I think they're gonna cover
the spread. I said they're gonna lose by 20. I didn't say they're gonna lose by 30. That's what I'm saying, because they have two shutdown corners. All right. They got a two shutdown corners, and I think they're gonna gas up themselves to stop the Florida State run. So it's up to Jameis Winston to utilize his check down, his intermediate passes. If he can do that, which I think he can, then they'll win by 20. It'll be close in the first quarter.
Can I use my analytics?
It'll be close in the first quarter, and then they're gonna keep rolling them up.
Shutdown corners, and who have they shut down?
Can I use my analytic skills? Please.
Who are these shutdown cornerbacks? Who have they shut down?
Jameis Winston is known for throwing interceptions.
That's blasphemous right there, Wiley.
He is very interception prone.
That is blasphemous right there. That dude is on point.
Okay,
I don't know what you're talking about.
He ain't throwing them against all the cupcakes. I'll give you that. But against some of the tougher cupcakes, he always throw that interception. Anyway, what I'm saying to you is Florida will step up this week because those seniors know that there is one game a year that matters most to the University of Florida. And you can lose them all. You cannot go to SEC championship, but you don't want to be the team that lost to Florida State as a senior. You don't want to be that team. Because you got to remember that for the rest of your life. And I promise you, them boys going to step up. And that defense is going to step up. And if anything, we might not score a lot, but I promise you FSU don't come out there with no 35, 45 points in the swamp. That's not going to happen.
Hold on. First of all, I'm going to tell you the two shutdown corners, too, from Cali Mike. Let me tell you the two shutdown corners, Cali Mike. They got Purifoy and Hargreaves. And Purifoy. Those are the two shutdown corners. Yeah, he's a shutdown already. He's a freshman. He's a true freshman. Heck yeah, he's a shutdown corner.
And he's a cornerback.
He's one of the best in the SEC already. He's one of the best in the SEC.
Who have they shut down?
Who have they shut down?
Yes.
Who have they played?
Repeating the question again. Who have they shut down?
Everybody they played. I can't name the names of the receivers against some teams they played. Give me a dynamic receiver outside of the receivers at Missouri. He weren't getting burned at Missouri. They weren't getting burnt in Missouri. Missouri got the receivers out of 6'5".
I can't sit and talk with y'all. Y'all can make fun of, because I would be making fun of y'all too if y'all's team lost to Georgia Southern. So knock yourselves out. But what I want to know is when Florida beats Florida State on Saturday, I want every one of y'all to tell me how such a sorry-ass team could beat the number one team in the country. A team that lost to a double-A team.
I don't think that's going to happen because they can't even beat an unranked D1 double-A school.
Okay, like I said, and I keep hearing that. So when it happens, I want to hear y'all tell me how in the world that could have happened.
Not going to happen.
Okay.
Anyway, let me put you on hold, Tony, and we got to move on to our next. I want to bring in we got our buddy from the Windy City in here too, Chi-Town Mike. I'm gonna go ahead and put him on here with us.
I've been enjoying listening to everything y'all said. Everything, man.
So, what do you think about the university? What do you think about the University of Florida lot, Mike?
Yeah, Tony Florida lost to Georgia Southern. He's talking about Florida State. Yeah, I hear what you say, Tony. Yeah, I'm saying need to beat Florida State, but it's not gonna happen, my friend. Florida State is probably gonna beat the crap out of Florida. They know it's all at stake. It's their chance to go to a BCS national championship, and it's a rivalry. They ready. They know it's at stake, and they gonna kick Florida's butt. Florida's a team that's going through piles, and hey, they might have a new head coach next year, man.
They need a new head coach. They need new players. They need new everything.
Well, on the offensive side of the ball, the defense is legit. The defense is legit.
The
offense is what can't score any points.
The same defense allowed 26 points to Georgia Southern is legit.
Yep, because the offense couldn't score any points. The offense can't do anything. They need a quarterback, and it ain't like when Driscoll comes back, it's going
to
be much better.
I mean, a defense can shut down a game, Clavel, very easily. And like I said,
but the offense has to score points. The offense has to score points.
This class,
I mean, the defense is on the field too long, the offense is going to score points.
The offense put up 20 points. That's enough to win. This defense this class right now of seniors came from the highest rated defensive recruiting class ever.
Yeah.
And they just
They'll be back next year. I mean, they'll be back next year.
No,
just,
they won't.
They got to change.
That's the thing, Clavel. No, they won't be back next year.
No, but they had
seniors.
They still have pretty good recruits coming back, reloading coming in, come behind them, man. They do. But I want to move on, man. I mean, I want to get into this Winston so bad.
Of course,
man.
Of course you do.
I want to get into this Winston.
let's go ahead and talk about. We want to fit in famous Jameis real quick. Everybody knows what's going on with Jameis Winston. Accusations of sexual assault, other things going on. I don't know. It just sounds really fishy to me. And like I say, sexual assault is really serious, so I really got to take this seriously. But just the timing of it all, that this started happening right before we enter into the championships, Heisman Trophy type era of the, you know, part of the season, it's just very fishy. It's like, why didn't this happen in the beginning of the season? Why didn't it happen beforehand? You know, why would the victim sit around and let a known rapist walk around for 1 year? You know, I just, like I say, it's so fishy. There's so many details we don't know. But we do know that there is a policy that if you are arrested or accused of a felony, you're immediately suspended from your team, which I think is a garbage policy because you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. But for some reason, that doesn't exist in this country in a lot of places. Clavel, you want to breach this subject, so you start us off. What do you think about this?
Well, I mean, obviously the whole thing is a bunch of garbage. Well, hold on. I'm just going based on what I've heard from my sources. Everybody has heard their sources. And it just looks like just a suspicious situation where they're trying to bring this brother down. Watley said this a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. What was the situation? But I'm just going based off the information I know. This woman here is making a false claim. She filed a sexual battery. I don't understand this. How does it go from sexual battery, then to sexual assault, then to rape? I don't understand that. That's three completely different charges right there. But anyway, but it's just basically saying this woman here is falsely accusing this guy, and then she's going to take pictures with this guy after she allegedly was raped by this guy, you know, and put him on Facebook. And then lie to TMZ that says that they weren't there, and then say, okay, then they found out who this woman is with Jameson, and then she told TMZ to say that's not her, and when in actuality was her, you know? I mean, come on, man. I mean, they're just trying to bring this brother down because he's a threatening figure, because he's highly intelligent. First and foremost, he's highly intelligent, both academically and on the football field, and he's extremely athletic. Okay, I mean, this guy, when he gets into the league, he's going to be the face of a franchise. Okay, he could be a more cerebral Peyton Manning in the future, because he's clearly almost the best. You can make a case he's the best quarterback in the country already as a freshman, you know. And they're trying to take this brother down, man. That's what it boils down to. And if I'm wrong about this, and if it comes out this guy did it, he deserves what he gets. But based on the sources that I have, you know, which is what a lot of other people have, I mean, they're just trying to take this brother down, man.
One thing you brought up that is very interesting to me, and I wonder if you guys noticed this too. When this story, and it's interesting you mentioned TMZ, when this story first started becoming breached, TMZ was all over this. They were interviewing people, accusing people of a cover-up. Have you noticed how they've cooled off of this and really haven't mentioned anything, like in the past couple of weeks? Like you said, like they might have some information that could prove him innocent and just don't want to say anything. Like, maybe they know that that's the girl in the picture and don't want to – I mean, you know, when TMZ sinks their teeth into something, they stay on it until it's done. And they have not mentioned this in a while. And like I said, they, you know, and like I said, they, you know, they were pretty much – they actually broke the story on this, too. you know, and like I say, and once, you know, once some pictures and stuff started coming out, you haven't heard anything from them.
Yeah.
You know, and that, like I said, that, you know, that, that raises a red flag in my eye. And it's like, and plus, if this wasn't the person who was in the picture, why hasn't that person stepped forward and said, that's me, this, I wasn't the one, or, you know, usually when,
no,
usually when
no, no, hold on, first of all, no, what I'm saying is they sent the picture out, and then she told TMZ to tell everybody that that's not her.
Well, yeah,
but
that,
in
that's
actuality,
what I'm saying. I mean, but that's what I'm saying, though. If it wasn't her, you figure if it was the real person, then the real person would come out and be like, that's me. You know what I mean? Like with
yeah.
the like with the Matthew Teo thing. Once the girl seen that picture was of her, she was like, that's me. That's not his girl. I'm not his girlfriend. I'm still alive. You know what I mean? Like I say, you figure somebody would have came and spoke out about this. But like I say, it's just sounding very shady right now. Nobody's coming forward. You know, I mean, like. Like I said, I've seen bigger rape cases be handled differently than this. And, you know, and everybody's saying cover-up, but it's not much of a cover-up when everybody knows about it. And, you know, like I say, now it's to the point where you figure they would have moved on something by now. So, I mean, I don't know. Tex, what are your thoughts about this?
Mark? I don't know if Tex even want to speak on this. Tex, you talking?
He might be muted. Mike, what do you think about this?
I hope, like you said, it's wild. Like you said, we all know proven to being guilty or innocent. And they already, the way it seemed like it was this one time you're hearing that he's cleared and you hear all this kind of wait and see, you know. But like you said, what Clydesdale said, it's kind of sad that all of this is coming out right now. Toward the end of the season and possibly cost this man a chance to win the Heisman or even play in the national championship.
Well, I mean, more than that, cost him his freedom if it turns out that it's true or anything. I mean, that's, you know, like I said,
that too, yeah.
To me, that's the biggest thing about this. Is, you know, like I said, it's very, very, very fishy. Let me go ahead and I want to bring in a caller. Let's see. We got here. Let's bring in James. I want to hear what James has to say about this.
Hey, yo. All right.
The thing is,
like, you know, like I just got, like, in Tallahassee area, right? And one of the reasons that something that I just got, and the main reason why it's taking so long is, and that the whole accusation won't even fly. Yeah, hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, we're here. We still here.
Hey, close up, man. You need to stop grabbing plates, bro.
Dang, you know what I'm doing, huh?
Hey, you said you were thinking, so I'm like, man, I mean, dang, you going to get plates and stuff? But no, back to the nature at hand right here. What I was saying was the reason that, you know, this whole thing can't really go through as planned, and since it's like taking a year, is that the reputation of the accuser is being pretty much in check, because what they're saying is that, you know,
let me go ahead and put some people on mute here, because we're getting a lot of feedback. Claude, I'm going to put you on hold real quick. Alright, go ahead.
Alright, thing that I was saying was that this lady that's supposed to be the accuser is actually part of a group called the Cleat Crew. And the thing is that this crew is basically like, you know, every set of chicks that is in every campus that has, you know, a football team and that type of joint where, you know, the football team be out and about and they'll have parties and whatnot, or, you know, they'll get togethers. And you'll have, you know, those group of girls that hang out and try to, you know, get at the football players and that type of thing, right? So, apparently, it might be the case here where this chick was part of that crew, and she ended up being with Jameis, and they had a little encounter, and whatever happened. And then she tried to see if she could get something on Jameis, but everything is, like, you know, really sketchy and all that type of stuff. So with that, if anything comes out and he actually gets tried or charged or something like that, and if it goes to trial, then all the chicks that are in that group will pretty much be outed.
Mm-hmm.
So the pressure is basically on the person that accused Winston, because not only does he have to deal with the backlash of, you know, the football fans and that type of stuff, but also the people or the chicks that are in that group. Because she pretty much may have messed up their money train or whatever it is with the Florida State football players.
Exactly. Wow. And just from what you've heard, you know, being in the Tallahassee area, I don't want to say the person's name. I think we've all kind of heard the same thing. Is this the actual person that people are talking about, the person that everybody's saying that it is?
It's quite possible. Quite possible. I mean, they ain't really, you know, releasing any names on it, but it's like I said, it's no different than in any other college campus, whether it's in Tallahassee, or Gainesville, or Tuscaloosa, or in Atlanta, or, you know, Columbus, or Austin. It's just that little one instance where, you know, something happened and something got messed up one way or the other. And then she tried to pin him.
Yeah. Okay. Let me put you back on hold, James. I'm going to bring in another caller. This guy's been waiting to talk about this. From the 704. You're on CMT Firestorm. 704.
Yeah,
J.U. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how's it going? You're on CMT Firestorm. Yeah. Hello?
Hello? 703.
704, Mike.
I mean, 704, sorry.
Okay, let me put him back on hold. Let me bring in, let's see, who else we have on here. Hi, you're on with CMT Firestorm. Is it Matt again?
Hey, y'all. Hey, to answer your question, Mike,
yeah.
The person that I've gotten from my sources from Tallahassee, well, let me backtrack real quick. The person we can thank or blame for re-aggravating and picking the scab on this is Matt Baker of the Tampa Bay Times. He's the one that went in, he got a tip from someone in Tampa that to look into Jameis Winston public record. He got the tip to go up there to look into it. That's kind of where it got re-aggravated again. So he's the guy that started. A couple other publications stepped in, started trying to catch on after his articles came out, and then TMZ sunk their teeth into it. But I think you're dead on about TMZ. If there was more to it, they would keep going at it. Because you've seen how they were with, like, Kaylee Anthony and Zimmerman. They were like a pit bull. They weren't letting go. They were shaking their head. They weren't letting go. They're quiet, you know. And I follow their Twitter feed as well as Deadspin. I haven't heard Deadspin come out with nothing. And Deadspin would come out with something like, you know, some more information on this, or, you know, like a conspiracy that the Florida football team is trying to throw games. Crazy stuff like that. Deadspin's into that, but they have nothing on either of those. But to confirm the person that you're talking about, EK, that's her initials. I'm not going to say her name, but EK. She's the one that my sources in Tallahassee have told me is the accuser. So to kind of answer your question.
That's pretty substantial then. That pretty much, like I say, I mean, that's, like I say, it's tough because it's sexual assault, so you don't want to just brush it away, but that's going to be a hard case to them to prove, man, because that means that basically that's going to confirm the rest of the stuff, not that if there was a rape or not, but that they didn't know each other, that they had a previous relationship, that them in the pictures together is going to, like I say, it's going to put a lot of stuff, you know. It's gonna be, you know, it's, like I said, that's gonna be a case breaker. Even if this goes to trial, or you know, or you know, or I don't see how he's gonna get indicted on this, you know, if they have this information available. But
I talked to some criminal defense attorneys this week too, to kind of get a little bit more insight into what they're looking at as the DA, what's the DA's looking at, and charging him. Well, if they do, obviously they have DNA evidence and he was there, and that's undisputable. And there is a relationship between them. It's undisputable. They have met on more than one occasion. We've seen a couple of pictures that have been on Facebook, Twitter. I retweeted them. I'm not going to retweet them again, but they're over on at Matt Long Sports. You can look through the Twitter feed and find it. It's over there. But, you know, so it's not a question, do these people know each other? They do. It's clear. The allegations, like Costell said, they've changed three times. And that incident report, that public record that Matt Baker got sent, that they actually, Tallahassee Police Department sent Matt Baker, I've seen it. Jameis Winston's name is nowhere on it. And he inquired back. He said, well, his name's not even there. So, like, I know, but that's the one regarding him. That's it. That's the document. That's the complaint about him. It's a complaint. It's not somebody was trying to, you know, it stopped at a complaint. There wasn't enough evidence to move forward on a case, so it sat pending. And that's
so I got a
where it has set until, yeah.
I got a quick question. See, that kind of already cancels the case right there. If clearly that was the woman on the TMZ photo, right? And if she claims that she was raped, why didn't she put Jameis Winston on that police report? That makes absolutely no sense when they clearly knew each other.
And that seems like from other reports I've heard that when she went in, it seemed like she was kind of trying to, like she was trying to hide him from it. That's why she said 5'11", 210 pounds, and didn't put his name on it. So didn't put his name on it and misdescribed the guy that she was familiar with. So, height and weight, that really doesn't matter a whole lot. Putting his name on it, she obviously knew his name, you know. Maybe she didn't know how to spell it. Maybe that's why. I don't know. That's wrong of me. Forgive me. I can't play on this girl's intelligence like that. I could only assume. That's an assumption. No source told me
that.
That was just a complete assumption. But back to the criminal, the defense attorney, they're saying essentially what he's trying to do is they're trying to build up a huge battery of charges to levy against him. So essentially what they try to do is they try to plea out of smaller charges into a bigger charge. But they don't have enough substantial evidence to charge him with, because right now it's just he said, she said. And essentially what came out, because they got the DNA evidence, then they have markings on her showing a struggle, and then the story comes out. And a month ago, his attorney released a statement. And again, I don't know why the media didn't say this part. His attorney released a statement saying a month ago that Jameis Winston had voluntarily gave his DNA swab to the Tallahassee Police Department and that the sex with her was consensual. That statement was given to them. But over the last month, nobody has said that. That was on his attorney statement over a month ago. They've deliberately, and this is where I'm buying into what Costell's saying, they're trying to bring the guy down in that part where I could draw a basis for what he's saying. Because they're not bringing up all the facts. And then that's probably why TMZ laid off. And the story was, essentially from what my source said, the relationship was consensual. It wasn't just one night. It was multiple occasions, not saying that they were dating, but they were familiar with each other. And that essentially in the night in question, he got up and left because his girlfriend was coming to town, and he said, you know, I got to go. My girl's here. And she got crazy and mad because his girl, again, this is what my sources tell me. They're not sworn under oath or anything like that. This is just what their sources tell me. I mean,
I can't, again, these, again, I could just call their remarks allegations too, but essentially that's what this boiled down to. She got upset. She had tried to assault him. He tried to restrain her. That's where the markings came from. Then she goes at 4 o'clock in the morning on December the 7th and files a report. Not remembering how to spell his name. Or
wow.
Couldn't check Facebook for that one.
I don't know. This is, I don't know. This is going to be, I don't know. This is something, like I say. It's not, you know, I just don't get what she could, you know, I don't get what she could gain out of this. You know, I hope it's, you know, I said the Florida Gator thing just because I was, you know, trying to make a joke about it, but I hope it's not. I hope it's not because of the relation to the Gator and, the, you know, I hope not.
Well,
you know, I hope things are going
that
far.
He caught the wrong crazy white chick. That's all. Played the wrong crazy white chick. That's all.
Basically.
Yeah, and then hold up, and I want you to put This is what TMZ, because I trust TMZ's information. They never really lie. But see, they have the picture of him and her at the club. They don't lie. They really don't. They have the picture of him and her, and this is how TMZ presented it. He said that Jameis Winston's accuser said that that's not me in the club pic, and then they covered her face mysteriously. They still covered her face though, you know. So TMZ won't come off as if them not telling the truth. They want to put the blame on the accuser, saying, okay, the accuser told
Which
us
one?
That's not her in the club pick. Huh?
Which one? There was two
Which
club picks, first of all, and they were both wearing different clothes on each of
The one where they look like they're about to kiss?
Okay.
That's the
so
club
the one
pick
that
I'm talking about.
The one that they were standing side by side with each other, he had the plaid shirt on, that's legitimately her?
Yeah, that's her in the pic. That's her. They're in a club and he has a plaid shirt on. Yeah, and then she looks like she's about to kiss him. Yeah, that's her in the pic. That's the accuser.
Okay. Okay, because they have two pics. And the next one, I think, actually, you know, I'm looking at the pic now. No, it's the same. They're wearing the same clothes. And the second, the next pic is them standing right next to each other. Same clothes.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It looks like they might be in different clubs, though, unless the club has different lighting or depending on the lighting. But, yeah, it looks like they might be in even – maybe they went to two different clubs that night. I don't know. But, like I say, that's a – I don't know.
That's a pretty big allegation there.
Yeah, that's pretty ugly. Let me go ahead and put you on hold, Matt. I want to see if any other callers have anything to say about this real quick before we wrap this up.
Be sure everybody to check out the website. We're working on it. It's in beta phase. thechtonsports.wordpress.com. Check it out. Give me some feedback. Again, we're looking for writers, contributors, columnists for the site to build more. If anybody is interested, they can email me directly at thechtonsports@gmail.com.
Bam, there you heard it. And before you email them, make sure you folks know how to spell, okay? I don't want nobody who don't know how to spell coming up there trying to write us some like articles and having us looking all crazy.
No,
I
read them before I post them.
Okay.
I read them before I post them.
All right. Let me go ahead and put you on hold. Let's see. 469. Tex, are you on with us? Jamal?
I don't know, but let's put Watley on.
Hello?
Jamal, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on. What's up?
Oh, okay. You somehow, I don't know. This studio is acting crazy. You see what it did, Glover? It hasn't won here twice.
Yeah.
But let me hang up this other one, man. Okay.
Oh, let me get this.
Go ahead and, go ahead.
Let me put this 863.
Actually, yeah, go ahead and take over the studio, too, Glover.
863?
Yes.
You're on season.
Glover, what's going on? It's Amari.
Oh, what's good, man?
What's going on? Just listening to you guys about the Jameis Winston thing, just watching SportsCenter, and I haven't really been following as much, but from what they're saying, they're not going to put out any decision for at least another 2 weeks on the case and what's going to happen with it. It's totally unfortunate for us football heads over here because we obviously want the brother to keep his freedom, but also, too, we don't want to see the brother fall. Hopefully, I hope the truth can come out about it, whatever took place, because from what I see so far, it's just a lot of speculation on both sides. No real facts have really come out about what has truly happened between the two. But I was really trying to call earlier about what you guys were saying earlier about the whole Florida thing real quick. I was just going to make a quick statement on that. I totally agree with what you say, though, Clausell and Tony. Me and you have debated this stuff back in the day about teams losing confidence and whatnot, and you can obviously tell that the team is not, you know, they just given up on the season completely. They're tanking the season. I mean, but as far as Michigan lost to Appalachian State that year, they were number 5 in the country, so that was a much bigger loss than what Florida did to Georgia Southern. Much bigger loss, because you're talking about a team they were predicting to possibly play for a national title that year. You know, Florida wasn't predicted to do that this year at all. And I was also going to say something real quick about what Matt said about the SEC. I mean, the conferences, I mean, the Pac-10 or 12 or what do you want to call it, Pac-15, you know, your strength of a conference, you can have 7 or 8 teams play well, and it could be a lot of teams, 7-4, 7-5, whatever you want to call it. A lot of parity is there because, no, there's no clear dominant team. But when you look at the Pac-12 and compare it to the SEC, you look at the top 3 teams in both sides of their division, they can't really truly match up with the top 3 teams in the SEC West or the SEC East. I mean, people want to speculate and say, yeah, they can. We saw what happened.
But besides Alabama, are you looking at the top teams in the SEC?
Well, yeah, I mean, let's take, for example, let's look at Alabama, Auburn, and LSU, okay? Let's look at Auburn and LSU and look at when you flip it around and you look at the Pac-12 and you take Stanford out of it. Now, let's say you have Oregon and Washington. You think Washington can beat LSU?
Why would you take Stanford out of it?
Well, I mean, you said take Alabama out of it. Stanford's the best team, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Right. So let's take Alabama out of it.
You went straight to Washington, though. Do I think Oregon could beat
LSU?
No.
What I'm saying is LSU is third in their side.
Oregon could beat LSU.
Washington is third in their side. So if LSU were to play Washington, who do you think would win?
Washington, and LSU aren't the same, though. Let's compare it like this. I look at the North versus the East. I look at, like, UCLA. Could they play with Auburn? Yes. I'm not even sold on Auburn right now, to tell you the truth.
I don't know about that.
And I'm a big Gus Malzahn fan, but I'm not sold on Auburn. I'll say this right now. I think, like I said, they almost lost to Georgia last week. They should have lost. And they're going to lose to Alabama this week.
Well, I think Auburn will lose against Alabama. But what I'm saying is, when the season started in the pack, and I remember listening to you guys talk about this on the show a few weeks ago, Oregon was predicted to play for the title. And now what happened? Now they're not even going to the Rose Bowl. I mean, when you look at the Pac-12, and you look at, like I said,
University of Florida was a top 10 team, and they're 4-7.
Yeah, but to be honest, University of Florida was a top 10 team, and I'm not a Florida fan, but people who follow SEC knew that Florida was not going to be there at the end. I mean, everybody knew that coming in. They didn't have a great
quarterback. Everybody did not know that. No, you can't. No.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Let's be real.
I mean, we're not talking about a Florida team of the 90s.
This is what's called hindsight of 2020.
Not even hindsight of 2020. I mean, let's be real. They lost last season, end of the season, to Louisville. And got drugged, and they didn't even want to play then. And in this season, when you look at the SEC, and you like I said, top to bottom, of course the bottom teams are going to suck. That's where they're at the bottom. But the top teams of the Pac-12 cannot play with the top teams of the SEC. They just can't.
Who's to say
and
that?
And it's because, well, I mean, look at the physicality of play.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
What if I told you,
since the beginning of the BCS era, the Pac-10 has beaten the SEC more times than the SEC has beaten the Pac-10?
Well, what if I told you the SEC has produced more champions than the Pac-12? I mean, you can make any stat fit whatever argument you want to say.
First of all, really, besides Alabama, Alabama is a true champion out of the SEC. I can't deny that.
LSU is too.
When University of Florida went to the national championship and played Texas, USC was better than them that year, and they would have beat them.
Who said again? Said again?
And they had the same record as them and got held out.
What, yeah, I think Florida when they played Texas?
I agree with you, Mike.
What did you say again, Mike? I couldn't hear you.
Florida never played Texas. You're talking
Florida
about
Florida never played Texas.
Florida when they played Ohio State or Oklahoma, you mean?
No. Florida didn't ever play Texas.
Oklahoma,
they played Ohio State
Oklahoma.
And they played Oklahoma.
Yeah, well, I mean, USC didn't handle their business. I mean, goodness, I could say when Auburn won a national championship, Alabama was the best team in the country.
The same,
I mean, come on.
Florida. They had the
I'm just
same
saying,
record as Florida.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, when you compare the teams, like I said, you look at the teams at the top of the conference.
But this is what I'm trying to say, though. Instead of looking at them and imagining stuff, why aren't we actually looking at the records of these teams against? How come you guys don't want to actually look at their record when they play other teams? Why is that getting thrown out?
Kelly Mike is crazy.
Oh, I love it.
You know what? I can say Auburn was better than USC when they won the national championship.
Think about this, Amari. You seem like you're a pretty logical person. Why would I just now say that the Pac-10 has beaten the SEC more than the SEC has beaten the Pac-10? Why did everybody just say so? Think about that.
Because you play the bottom feeders of the SEC. The Pac-10, they always play the bottom feeders of the SEC.
No, they don't.
Yes, you do. You play the bottom feeders. Does USC play Alabama?
Why is it that we know for a fact the University of Florida is going to play three Division I AA schools per year instead of going out and playing somebody else?
He goes to three Division
I. Hold on. Claudio? Am I lying?
You don't have to lie, man. I'm good.
Am I lying, though? You want me to tell you the team?
No, I don't need you to show me teams.
But am I not telling the truth?
I mean, come on, man. This is a never-ending argument. I mean, come on, Callie.
Like I said, the argument, I never disputed any of the Florida has won. I mean, the SEC has won the past six or seven national championships. I never disputed that, but I will dispute saying that any conference, just like you say, can't play with any other conference. I will dispute that because, like I say, you guys always ignore the bottom part of the SEC. There's 14 teams in the SEC. There's seven of them that, for some reason, SEC fans ignore every year like they don't exist. Then we ignore the fact that when Pac-12 teams come and play the SEC teams, the Pac-12 teams win. We throw that out the record. We throw that out because we don't want to hear that. And then all we go off of is Alabama and LSU. And that's all
we
ever go off
of. I mean, LSU, that's not true. LSU be whooping up on Washington. LSU whooped on Oregon.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. You said that Pac-12 always beats the SEC. I don't know about that. LSU was the build-up. You put the best.
No.
LSU, Oregon was in a national championship when they played Auburn, and then they played LSU the following year, and they were both at the top of their game, and LSU crushed them.
Yeah.
They had the best in the Pac-12 and the best in the SEC.
LSU crushed them.
Alabama
and LSU. Didn't you hear me? I just said that. Alabama and LSU. I just said that.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is, Mike, even in the 90s,
Auburn won by 3 points, folks, where that game was a blowout.
Right, that's true. But, I mean, everybody – the thing about the SEC, it's been like that even the last 20 years. I mean, in the 90s, it was ruled by Florida. Alabama won a few times here and there. Tennessee won one time here and there. But it's always been that way. It's all
no,
absolutely.
Yes,
it has, man. Yes, it has.
It's always been that way.
This only started when the BPS happened.
No, it didn't. Always been that way.
Hold on, let me finish. They won one national championship. Where was Alabama at in the 80s? Where were all these schools at? Where was University of Florida at? In anywhere?
Say it again.
You said he asked me, where was University of Florida in the 80s? Where was Alabama in the 80s?
You know why?
I mean,
where was it in the 80s?
Hold on.
You know who
was
winning
in the 80s? Florida at in the,
hold on, where was University of Florida at in the 90s when they got crushed by Nebraska, when they got crushed by FSU? These schools were getting crushed.
The University of Florida was good in the 90s. I don't know what you're talking about. They were really good.
And they were getting crushed. Did you just listen to what I said?
They won the championship in 1996. They won in 1996, the national championship.
No, you just didn't hear anything I said, did you? I said besides 1996.
They got crushed in those games, and they won the national championship in 1996.
Listen instead of speak.
I'm listening.
I said, look what happened when they got crushed by Nebraska. When they got crushed by Florida State.
Nobody
would have
beat Nebraska that year. Huh?
They were constantly getting crushed by the top teams from different conferences. So you can't.
They were beating Florida State a few times in the 90s. I don't know about that. They were beating Florida State a few times in the 90s. That's not necessarily true. They beat Florida State like 3-4 times in the 90s. I don't know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true. I mean, when you look at it, like I said, even in the 80s, you had Georgia in the early part of the 80s winning championship. You had different teams.
No, Auburn had Georgia win one championship in 1980.
Well, they were dominant.
They were a dominant team in the 80s, though. They were
early
very dominant in the 80s.
No, they weren't.
What? Oh, my God.
you know what the University
That's
of Georgia
record right there, boy. Oh, my
you
God.
You
tell me when they had Herschel Walker, they were a dominant team?
You know what the University of Georgia's record was after 1980?
They won a national championship in, like, 82 or something, right?
1980, they won a championship, but they were a dominant team for 3 years in a row. When
I mean, I think that cats want to come in, man, but
no,
I'm just saying. hey, it is what it is, man. SEC has been dominant for years, man, and it's just showing it now, man.
Yeah,
they've been dominant for years, man. I mean, it is what it is. Before that, though, if you're talking about like the 70s or something like that, it was a Southwestern Conference. That was a dominant team, the conference then. But when the 80s came, it was all about the SEC.
Yeah. Mhm.
Oh man. Hold up. I think I lost. I think. Whatchamacallit is off the phone. Hold on. Let me get a caller in. He's gonna come back. Cali Mike. Let me put. Let me put. Hold on real quick. Something's wrong here. Hold on. Oh, yeah, let me put Watley on.
And I'm still here.
hey, Watley. I don't heard a lot of craziness. First, we got to talk about Jameis. Now, we all know that what's going on with Jameis is a conspiracy. No ifs, ands, buts, ors, or maybes. I'm not going against the team or going against FSU. We know what's going on with Jameis. Somebody else that has been around Jameis is trying to get their 5 minutes of fame. That's what's going on with Jameis. And they are doing whatever they can to get it. We have discussed on this program previously in the past about how this same thing happened at University of Florida. And I told you the one thing that brings down college athletes the most is women every single time. Why? Because those guys full of testosterone running around in their early 20s, late 19s, and they can't control their hormones, and they got all these groupies running around, and they want to go and get some of that stress off, and they don't realize them girls are predators. They are doing what they're doing because they're trying to get something out of it. And Jameis got caught in the okey-doke. And that's what's going on with Jameis Winston right now. Will he get caught up? No. All he's got to do is keep his mouth shut. She is an adult. She is over 18. It doesn't matter how much DNA they find. They've got pictures and they got friends to say that it was consensual. That makes it his word against hers. They don't have any intention to show that he actually harmed that girl. And because he didn't harm her and people know that they were some of a couple, he will get away with it. But he needs to keep his mouth shut. Because if he going to wish he had.
Well, I mean, why is it taking the DA? Hold up, Wiley. Why do you think it's taking the DA 2 weeks to to want to do this? Is he trying to find anything on this guy?
No, honestly, I think they don't have anything. And because they don't, if they had something, he wouldn't even be playing football right now. I guarantee you that. If they had something to get him with, he would not even be playing football right now. Florida State would have dropped his ass a month ago. If they truly had something, they'd have already got rid of him. They, what they're trying to do is put together a case, and they can't get it together. And because they can't get it together, that's why you ain't hearing nothing about it. And as long as he keeps his mouth shut, then he won't get in any trouble. But if he go out there with his friends talking junk and bragging and saying what he did and didn't do, all it takes is the wrong person to hear the wrong part of the wrong sentence, and he will be in jail. He needs to keep his mouth shut.
Yep, that's fair to say. That's fair.
Just
keep quiet.
Well, I mean, what about the Heisman? What do you think about his chances of the Heisman? You think he'll still win the Heisman?
No. I told y'all a month ago, too, I think Alabama's quarterback should win the Heisman.
Oh,
any man that's gone two straight years undefeated and not lost a game has earned it. That McCarron or whatever his name is, I think the man has earned that title. do what?
That means Braxton Miller should win the Heisman.
Who?
Braxton Miller, Ohio State.
Oh, no. They were on sanctions and the whole thing. No. Alabama has won every game, including two national championships, and he has gone straight through with no penalties, no problems. He has exemplified himself as the leader of a national championship team, and he has earned it. No ifs, ands, or maybes. Jameis Winston, Jameis Winston ain't showed me nothing. Why hasn't he showed me nothing? Because Florida went 11-2 last year. The only game I see this year that Florida State went 11-2 last year and won the ACC. The only game I see this year that Jameis won that they wouldn't have won anyway may have been that Clemson game. Other than that, the Florida State football team is a good football team, and it wouldn't have mattered who the quarterback was. They'd have won all those cupcake games anyway.
What is a cupcake game?
So I really don't see how Jameis is the catalyst to their win.
Hey, what is a cupcake game?
Can I ask y'all something? Can I ask y'all something?
Let's put Tex on here. What was up?
This is a little bit off, but it's a little bit on the subject, man. What was I'm seeing Winston's girlfriend. What was he thinking? Is he crazy?
Hell no.
That's how y'all boys do. Y'all get down there south. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, man.
It's called
man.
Beer goggles. It's called beer goggles.
I didn't see a picture of his girlfriend, so I got to see a picture.
Well, no,
man,
I mean, no. The situation was, hold on.
Right.
First of all, hold on. I'm listening. What about?
Man.
It's called beer goggles.
Hold on. This is the situation. No, his girl plays basketball at Rice in Texas. So he's in Tallahassee, and you know all those women are coming after him, man. I mean, this woman probably got him at the wrong time.
Yo, his girl is bad, dude. Super bad.
The girl, the accuser, the story says the girl that's accusing him wanted him to leave his girl in Texas for her, and she got mad about that. And I'm like, would you want to leave that girl in Texas? Please.
Man, I'm talking about – go ahead and lock him up, man. Just for messing over, just off general principle, because man,
come on, beer goggles,
man.
Alcohol will make you do some crazy stuff.
The chick in Florida State, man, just your basic household.
If I was him, my chick would look like that girl that accused Brett Favre. That's what my chick would have to look like. You know what I mean? I want those are the FSU girls I want. Them cowboy wearing ones with the bikinis. Not that.
Yeah.
I see her now. Yeah.
Well, and he messed that up. He messed that up. He messed that girl. He messed it up with that girl.
I see it too. I see it now. What was he thinking? Yeah, like Tony said, alcohol over here. His girl is bad, man.
What's been going on?
Man, stupid. Just dumb, man. Just come on, man. God, now I'm mad, dude. Now I'm mad.
Hey, I thought they'd make him in Alabama, but anyway. But the thing is, you know, it is. I mean, the women are probably throwing themselves at him. I mean, they probably have these parties. He's seeing all types of things, and he just got caught
up.
You know, it is what it is. She probably caught him at the right place, and he couldn't resist.
Man, you can't get caught
up
with no basic-ass chick, man.
I'm going to bet you that picture was taken before he even signed with Florida State, because as the starting quarterback at Florida State, he is not even allowed to go out on Friday and Saturday night. I can promise you that.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I can promise you that.
That's a good point. Like I said, remember, we never seen none of them cats nowhere in Intel last year.
No, they're not allowed. They are not. If you are a starting player for a team like FSU in Florida, you are not allowed out at the clubs on the weekends. You are not even allowed out.
Is that, you mean the coach just doesn't allow it, or is just, you know, it's just
you
a unwritten rule?
You have a curfew. Your curfew is like 12 o'clock. You have to be in your room at 12 o'clock. And you know 12 o'clock is when the club get pumping.
Exactly.
And that's the way that the coaches make all starters not be able to go out. They have a curfew. You have to be in your room at 12 o'clock. And what happens is all of the athletes live in dorms that have security. Security has to do a bed check at 12 o'clock. And you have to literally sign in to say that you are in your room at 12 o'clock, and that piece of paper goes to the coach on Monday morning. If you didn't sign in, that's your ass.
I mean, are women allowed in the dorms, too?
Now, I ain't going to get into how they get to have their own parties in the dorms. I'm going to leave that alone. But all I'm going to tell you is they ain't out in the club. That's all I'm going to say. They are not out in the clubs. And that picture you just saw, that's an out-in-the-club picture. So because that's an out-in-the-club picture, that happened before he signed his scholarship for FSU, I guarantee it.
Yeah?
Probably.
I agree. It's hard to argue with that.
All right. Let me – hold on. Let me put this – hold on. Let me put – hold up. Who? Let me put – I got to put you on hold real quick, Wiley. Let me –
All right.
Let me put 407 on. Let me put Steve here. He's been on here for a while. And I'm going to get to you, James, after this.
Hey, what's
up,
going on?
What's up, man?
What's going on, Steve?
I guess he's off now. Sucks. He'll call right back. Let me put James on. What's up?
Yeah, actually, I really wanted to hold off to the end of the show because I wanted y'all to, like, you know, get into the NFL segment, because I really wanted to expand on this whole SEC versus Pac-10 and Pac-12 thing, because you and Wiley really got it twisted on that case. So when y'all are ready to close the show, I'm going to lay it down on y'all flat.
All right, man. All right, we'll put you back on hold there, man. So I guess, where we at? We at the, what you want to talk about, the NFL stuff real quick?
Yeah, we're past midway. Let's move in the NFL.
We way past that time.
I mean, you can moderate, man.
No, y'all got it, man. Y'all do y'all.
Okay. I mean, hello. Let me get the schedule here. What's going on here? What's your take on the games this weekend? What's your take on the RG3 losing to losing to the 49ers yesterday. What's your take on that, Redskins? Let me start with you, Tex.
Well, you know, it's a disconnect between coach and quarterback. And that's what McNabb was saying. And, you know, everybody, you know, McNabb, shut up. McNabb, don't matter. McNabb, you don't know what you're talking about. And look where we are right now.
Exactly.
There's that disconnect. But, again, also, you know, RG3 needs to, you know, it's stories out about him not wanting to see what he's doing wrong in games. And you can't have that. You have to look at your mistakes and you have to take steps to rectify it. When I was playing ball in high school, when I was looking at film, I didn't want to see nothing but what I wasn't doing. I didn't want to see what I was doing right. I wanted to know what I did wrong. And it kind of raised my eyes a little bit when I saw that. But I think he needs to just chill out and he needs to just play football. Now, Danny Snyder is not going to choose Mike Shanahan over RG3. That's just not going to happen. I think Shanahan also wants to get Kirk Cousins in there to play. But, RG3 is responsible for his play on the field. But I do think there's a disconnect between him and the coach. But the Redskins are just, you know, they're not having a good season. Apparently they were just kind of, you know, I guess a flash in the pan. And they have some players. I mean, Garcon, I think the running back, I think he's a jag. I think he's just a guy. I think Roy Helu is the better back. Alfred Morris, you know, he's just a dude, man. I mean, but other than that, I think they have some players in different places, but they're just, you know, they implode right now. They're falling apart at the wrong time. So I think they're about done for the year, and I think Shanahan will be out. Not sure who. I think his son is going. I mean, who the hell does his son think he is? I mean, man, go on, son. How the hell does this guy have a job? But anyway.
Hold on. I got to bring in Steve here real quick because he's back on now. What's up, Steve? What's up, man?
I'm on the road to Tallahassee right now, but I ain't get to speak about none of the little issues that y'all was talking about. I just want to say, first and foremost, before we even get started, I didn't get to talk about the Baylor-Oklahoma State game last week on predictions, and I would have told you Oklahoma State was going to walk the dogs on. But anyways, that's another story for another day. But then on top of that, let's get back to the 80s, because the SEC, are you serious, in the 80s?
Yes, they were.
They were not there. There was only three.
Yes, they were.
And two of them was in the Big 12. Well, the Big 8, whatever they were called back then. That was Oklahoma and Nebraska.
Yeah, Big 8.
Then you had Miami. That was only three teams that dominated in the 80s. Let's be real.
Georgia wasn't good in the 80s. Georgia wasn't good in the early 80s.
Man, Herschel Walker was their team. That's it. Who cares?
What are you talking about? They won a national championship. They won a national championship.
They got one ring, and that was the last one they ever got.
But they were competitive in the other 3 or 4 years, though, in the 80s.
Man, nobody knew about them, man. Nobody cared. If it wasn't Miami,
because they only,
wasn't Nebraska,
yeah,
wasn't Oklahoma, you weren't talked about. Texas was
nobody
there, too.
Nobody knew about them, and nobody cared. Thank you.
Nobody cared. That's how I was back then. I can tell you. I feel Kelly Mike's pain over there, man. Y'all going on this dude like that. The SEC wasn't that dominant all them years. And I'm happy.
Yes, they were,
the BCS is going to start, finish with the team that started it, Florida State, first BCS championship game, even though they lost to Tennessee. They're going to be the last championship game. So I'm happy about that. And y'all can let
–
and y'all can lay off my boy, James Winston. You know, he laid the pipes.
and the girl got felt some type of way. Let's just be real. You know what I mean? And then on top of that, the media gonna dig and gonna try to find something and blow it out of proportion. They really ain't got nothing on the young man. But that's just what happens as a black quarterback at Florida State. So it is what it is. Move on. Leave that shit alone. But anyways, now the Redskins are just a bad football team, man. That's what it boils down to, bottom line. RG3, you was doing your little miracle dances last year or whatever, but it ain't working. And it's time to just pack it up and work towards next year.
Yeah, I mean.
Go ahead.
Yeah, say what you got to say. No, you go first. I didn't really got much to say.
Oh, I guess you all was talking about it last week. Somehow, I guess, got muted off some system or something. But yeah, I mean, like Donovan Nance said, everybody was thinking, like, okay, he said it that Shanahan wasn't going to be a good fit for RG3. And I just think, really, it came too explosive to the end of last year when he hurt his knee when he was playing in that game. I still don't think he's healthy, you know, from the injury, so. I just think, you know, how he had to come back.
But I got to put you on hold here.
That right there probably showed him that he can't really, you know, maybe feel trusted of Shanahan. And like Tech said, it's disconnect. And we all know that, you know, Daniel Snyder's not going to choose Mike Shanahan over RG3, and he's a franchise. And RG3 is a franchise of the Redskins, and they ain't going to have no first-round pick for quite some years. So they definitely want to make a change. We all be shocked if Mike Shanahan's back next year.
I don't think Shanahan's going to be back, but I'll tell you this. RG3 better watch his butt, because I've heard some rumblings about people saying that Kirk Cousins might need to get a chance. So he needs
yep,
to walk himself. That's how it starts, you know. And next thing you know, he's gonna find his butt without a job after he wanted to tell everybody he could handle it, he could do everything on his own, you know. Now he's starting to see, you know, what Cass was trying to tell him, you know. And to me, like I said, I got no sympathy for him. He's getting what he deserves, you know. So you know,
yeah, remember Josh Freeman. Remember Josh Freeman.
Yeah,
but Freeman
can't play,
man. Come on, man.
Never, man.
No.
I remember I told you guys this was symbolic. I told you. I said this was symbolic.
Glennon is clearly better than Freeman. He's
if you think so. You go ahead and believe yourself. Believe that if you want to. But it's good. It's all good, though. It's all good. Keep convincing yourself that after four or five games. Keep convincing yourself that. But I'm happy that you believe that, because you're thinking the same way these fans here in Tampa are thinking. I'm glad. But anyway, hold up. I want to get into these topics real quick. There's a topic here, crossroad teams. You have the Colts, you have the Titans, you have the Bills, the Cardinals. Who is most likely to make the postseason out of these teams right here? And I'm going to start with Tex, and I'm going to bring on Watley here.
I have to go with the Cardinals. I don't know how many games you all have seen them play or have you noticed, but Carson Palmer is starting to run Bruce Arians' offense the way it's supposed to be run. They're running the ball. Floyd and Fitzgerald are working the boundaries, and Arizona's defense is just bad. That is a bad-ass unit. Their blitz scheme is just precise. You know, it cuts like a, you know, you pick the Hattori Hanzo sword, and you know what I'm saying? You compare the way their defense blitzes to that. Pat Peterson is locking guys down, and Tyrann Mathieu is a Pro Bowler. I mean, all the talk is about Seattle and San Francisco, but you know, even the Rams right now are a tough out. I mean, it's tough to put your foot into the Rams' ass, okay, right now. And Arizona is sneaky playing well on the offensive side and defensive side of the ball. It's been real quiet. But you watch Arizona, man. They have a pretty good team. They getting it together.
So are you, is it fair to say that that's the best division in football, NFC West, right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I can't argue on that. Yeah, they got, like I said, that's from top to bottom. Like Tech said, St. Louis, man, I think they got one of the best defensive lines in football, you know, and they're not, you know, they're young, they're not going anywhere. And they get a little offense together, get the quarterback, but hey, like I was saying on my Facebook thing, I was like, San Francisco, Seattle, better watch out. I mean, they St. Louis is not going nowhere.
I don't think they're that good, but I think, like I said, the Rams, you know, you better go and you better play the Rams. You better play like you're supposed to against St. Louis because they don't quit. They play 60 minutes. They play hard. And, I mean, that's just a tough division. And like I said, I'm going with Arizona because, you haven't heard anything about them. But, I mean, it's just real – it's real quiet, and it's precise what they're doing. And, you know, to me, Arians, if they make the postseason, he might be coach of the year.
Yeah, again, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm agree with you. It's Arizona. I like more Seattle than them.
Now, what were the teams you mentioned?
Shucks. It was
Arizona, Buffalo, the Colts and the Titans.
You come out between those five teams that make the playoffs?
I got to go with Indianapolis. Just don't make the playoffs? I got to go with Indianapolis. Why? Because the AFC South sucks. And, I mean, I know Indianapolis had a couple of struggles here and there, but when I just think Andrew Luck is the future of the NFL, and I think that boy is going to be the next Tom Brady slash quarterback Peyton Manning. The boy is bad.
I say Jameis Winston, but I'll keep going.
And if
he
comes down
to
who's
going to
make
pro.
It, I think Indianapolis is going to make it.
I was going to say this, so, you know, it's kind of, he is talking about it, it's kind of off the subject a little bit, but, I mean, is Trent Richardson, you think he's going to be back with the Colts next year? You think they might have made a mistake of getting him because he obviously is not fitting into what they're doing right now?
No, we're not even talking about Trent Richardson.
Now, I was just mentioning they were talking about the Colts, you know, not really been running the ball too good, so I just threw it out there.
But it really ain't a matter of him bringing it back. He's still going to get a contract next year. But I agree with Tex, though. I look at Arizona, and I see a team, like I say, defense, their offense. I mean, Mike Floyd has been stepping his game up this year. I was just talking with Tex the other day. Really, all those 2012 wide receiver class are starting to step the game up, and them dudes are playing. And Floyd, you know, he's at the head of that. You know, him and Blackman, you know, they're at the head of that class. We know what Blackman can do, and also, you know, Floyd's showing what he can do. And like I said, they're gonna be stars. I mean, everybody was down on Carson Palmer. You know, it's kind of like when he played for the Raiders. Like I said, I used to look down on him too until, you know, I talked to Tex about it, and he showed me, like, you know, Duke can still throw. And, you know, he still can. Not he's in the rhythm of that offense. That offense is looking kind of good. You know, and they really don't even have a running game like that. You know, but that defense, you know, Carlos Dansby and, you know, them talks, you know, and Pat Peterson and, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, the dudes can play. Like I said, I mean, I don't know if three teams make. I know they got two wide. Can three teams make out of one? I don't want a division.
Depends. Yeah, it's possible. Especially because you're gonna have one team out the East. You might have two teams out of the North. Now the South. You have to check on the South real quick because you got Carolina and New Orleans in there. It's possible that somebody in the West can go 10-6 and miss the playoffs. So
yeah, it might be San Fran. San Fran might be out, man.
Nah, I wouldn't. I'd say Now, don't get me wrong. Arizona's still third-best team in that division. I'm just saying that I think they have a better chance of making the playoffs than
that would mean you thinking Carolina would win the division? Carolina would have to win the division in order to win the make it to the playoffs then.
If they're not losing four games, then no.
No, there's only two wild cards.
But you can have three teams come out of the division. It just depends on how the chips fall. You go out
of Carolina. That means Carolina would have to win their division to make the playoffs.
No, I wouldn't bet on Carolina losing more than five games. That's what I'm saying. I would bet Arizona losing six games and not make the playoffs. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I can definitely see Arizona not making the playoffs. I mean, I can see that, but I cannot see Indy not making the playoffs. There would have to be something catastrophic happen in the AFC for Indy not to make the playoffs.
Well, they're free-falling right now.
I forgot, Tennessee is being kind of competitive, though. People sleeping on them. They're making a little run, so they might could get
Tennessee,
in there.
Tennessee picking up steam. The Bills are picking up a little steam, you know.
Hey, let me ask you guys a question real quick. With Geno Smith and in New York, is he going to be their quarterback next year?
I believe
no.
Because that defense has shown that it can play. So, you know, now they're just kind of waiting on the offense to catch up again.
Did we forget Mark Sanchez is still in New York?
I saw an article the other day. Last night they were saying Sanchez, you're going to see back with the Jets next year being ready.
Well, Rex wants him, but I think Geno is the GM's guy. And I think Sanchez is Rex's guy. So I don't think Rex wants him, Geno.
I don't know about what, but Geno's looking horrible.
Yeah, so that's just extra incentive to make the case to put Sanchez back in.
Exactly. Do not count Mark Sanchez out. It's easy to look at what Geno's doing this year, but when Sanchez says he's healthy, Sanchez has been the man in New York.
He don't have no help. And hopefully in this draft, coming up, they'll give him some more weapons on offense and get a running back.
I don't know. I'd like to see it, but I
would have kept
Geno going to be the starter next year.
I would have kept Geno, but, he's shown promise. Let the guy – give the guy some time. But it is okay. They don't want to do it.
Really look at it, Carville. Has he shown promise, or did he have like one good game and the rest?
He had four NFL comebacks. He had four comebacks. He was leading the league in comebacks.
Yeah. That dude looked bad when I say. Comebacks and having a good game are two totally different things. That dude, when I seen him, he looks horrible. He throws way too many interceptions, and he wasn't really that accurate.
Yeah. Well,
I'm gonna be honest with you. I didn't like Geno Smith when he was at West Virginia. He sucked. I didn't see him going as high as he went from the beginning. I don't know what the hell people was looking at. They must have just been looking at his intangibles. He's 6 foot, whatever. Because the dude was horrible. West Virginia was horrible. I'm like, what are people looking at? That's just like y'all keep talking about the Big 12 compared to the SEC. I really don't see what y'all seeing. I don't see what y'all seeing. To me, there's a mystery.
I'm bringing everybody on now.
I can't get it.
Well,
there's a myth.
I don't know. It is what it is. He had a very good college career, Geno Smith. He threw for, 500 or 600 yards in a game or something like that. So, I don't think he sucked. He showed like he could play. And I think he's been in the league. He's shown he can play a few times.
West Virginia, like I said, when he was at West Virginia and he had that game where he threw for all those yards, he was throwing it at Tavon Austin and he was throwing against the worst
past event.
They want to minimize what he has to say.
Amen, amen. Preach, preach.
You know,
like I said, when you play a bunch of cupcakes, it's easy to get 600 yards and get some cupcakes.
It's easy. All right. I know.
Oh, man.
I know it's easy, man. I know. But, you know.
Dang.
But give the guy some time, man. I mean, he's shown in the league he can do some good things if you just give him some time, man. Let's see if he can figure it out. If he can't figure it out, bench him. But give him the time to figure it out.
Gino, Gino Smith, you know, he's not – this is the thing I like about Geno Smith is he's not afraid to make a mistake. The guy isn't afraid to make a mistake. He's made some good plays. Hey, he's had some good games. He's had some bad games. He's been a rookie. It's up and then it's down. You had that horrible game against Tennessee.
Way down, nigga.
Wait a second. Hold on. What's down and way down? It's the same thing. I mean, Titans, he had bad games against Titans, against Big LeBeau and the Steelers. You know, LeBeau, I think, is undefeated versus rookie quarterbacks. He had a bad game. He had a bad game this past week. Geno goes to it. Now the Falcons are not a great team, but he goes to Atlanta. He drives down and he beats Atlanta. He also has a win against New England. Okay? So, you know, he's doing some good things. He's doing some bad. He has a win against the Saints. I mean, he's up and down. It's going to be a rookie season. It's going to be up and it's going to be down.
I don't know. To me, all I'm seeing is the down. I'm stuck on.
Well, you gotta look at both. You can't just look
exactly
at what a guy can't do.
I look at it like this. There's a reason he wasn't drafted in the first round. I'll say that. You know,
because he's perceived as a B-side player. That's why he wasn't drafted in the first round. Why was E.J. Manuel drafted before him? Because E.J. Manuel was an A-side player, okay? Whatever. But anyway, I don't even want to argue that, man.
I wasn't all that fine, but he is playing well, though, Manuel. I mean, you had called that right, though. Manuel is doing pretty good.
But based on your performance on the field, who would you rather have took it? Based on what I saw in college,
right now,
Geno Smith had a better resume than E.J. Manuel in college.
He did. I agree.
But anyway, this is whatever, man. I'm not going to argue about the A-side, B-side.
I say this by expectation. I mean, I just think, I guess, with the expectation now, you've seen how successful rookies, you know, like, you know, how Andrew Luck and, you know, Matt Ryan, those type of guys, they come their first year in RG3 and his success in Wilson, I guess they look at it, you know, every rookie quarterback that gets drafted high, like, you know, first or second round, they expect, you know, expectations like that. Well, hey, every quarterback's not going to do what those guys do as a rookie, so.
I don't have those expectations for Geno Smith because, like I said, he was a second-round quarterback. I mean, how many second-round quarterbacks do we expect to come in and lead their teams, really? I mean, I look at him like just another dude, you know?
But I got those expectations for a starter. If you're going to come in and be a starter, I expect you to show me some starting qualities.
He has.
Let's wrap it up here. Bell, you said you had something to say about the SEC and the Pac-10 or something like that.
Yes, I did.
Go ahead and do what you got to do. I did see the article you posted on CMT Firestorm. So,
all right. I mean that's part of the premise, but I'm gonna go into detail with it on two aspects. Number one, you have to realize that when the Pac-10 plays the SEC, no, it's not the bottom feeders that they're playing. Obviously, we forgot when USC went into Auburn and crushed Auburn. Obviously, we forgot that when USC was playing Arkansas on a home and home, Arkansas was pretty much on the come up in that instance. We also did forget that, you know, Tennessee was still playing teams and traveling to UCLA and Washington or wherever it was. So So the Pac-10 and the SEC have been playing each other for a while now. You even had Tennessee beating, who was it, Arizona State, or was it LSU beating Arizona State in overtime, you know, one year. So it's not like they don't play each other. But the thing that is, you don't really see these teams going against each other in the bowl games, number one. And if they do, number two, they're pretty much in the region where the SEC is, not where the Pac-10 is. You're not going to see them play each other in, like, Washington.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Hold on. You ain't going to see them be playing up in Washington for the games. You're not seeing them traveling over to Oregon
really?
In this game. All right, hold on, number two. Because it seems like when the SEC teams play anybody, they have no problem doing it in Alabama, in Georgia, in Florida.
Oh, my goodness.
No, hold on a second, because I'm going right after you with this one, Tony, because you know as a Florida Gator, they don't even travel anywhere past the rest of the Mississippi. They have never done that in 25 years, and you can count that on one finger. You can count on one finger.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I'm going to pass it on, and then I'm going to go to the second point, okay? Y'all really want to talk about these SEC teams, and you talk about, like, oh, they're a bobblehead. They're high at the top, and then they have a little slim thing in the middle and the bottom, right? Now, the difference between the SEC schools when they play in conference and just about every other conference is they have selective schedules in conference. What I mean by that is you don't see the Alabamas, you don't see the South Carolinas playing the toughest in-conference schedule in any year. In comparison, you had the Big 12 playing three or four ranked teams in their conference. You had the Pac-12 playing three or four ranked teams in their conference, regardless of division.
You've been working
regardless
on this for a long time, ain't you?
Now,
so Alabama
has
to play three ranked teams all year?
Hold on. Now, let me drive that point to you.
Alabama has to play three ranked teams all year?
When you see South Carolina, right, do you see South Carolina playing Alabama? Do you see South Carolina playing Texas A&M? Do you see South Carolina
That's
playing LSU?
That's because they're
Western
Conference teams.
No. Hold it. Because your team, Florida, right, in some cases, Florida plays the toughest in-conference schedule in the SEC, right?
I'm losing you. You're losing me. Wait. Are we breaking up? Because you sound crazy right now.
No. The thing is that when I make sense, that's when you're going to cancel.
Okay, well, start making sense, because right now you ain't.
No.
Come on.
You're breaking up.
All right, hold it.
Okay.
Now, what I'm saying is this, right? I've said it at the beginning of the season. When you talk about these top teams in the SEC year after year, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. When you name the South Carolinas, the Georgias.
South Carolina is not the top team in the SEC every year. South Carolina ain't even the Eastern Division Championship. So stop trying to add them in it. They're not the top team in the SEC.
Whoa.
Name the teams that keep winning the East and the West divisions.
I know you're not one of them because they just lost to Georgia Southern, so they're not one of them either.
We ain't talking about this year. We're talking about – you're talking about in hindsight. In hindsight, the SEC East is won by
I ain't
the Florida Gators and the Georgia Bulldogs. Stop talking about South Carolina. South Carolina ain't won an Eastern Division Conference.
Tony. You see, here's the thing again. When anybody tries to bring up a point that makes sense,
it don't make
interrupt.
Sense because they ain't won. They are not
the
best team
Wiley,
in the Eastern Division of the SEC.
Let him finish. And we can go from there. Let him finish.
James, hold on, James. Do you remember what I put on your website the other day? This is exactly what I was talking about.
See? Now.
No, I disagree with you, like, too, now, James. I disagree with you, but
now,
keep going.
Now, the thing about it is, right, when these teams in the SEC contend for their division, whether it's South Carolina when they're, you know, have the 10-2 and 9-3 seasons, or Georgia when they, you know, contend for the East Division Championship, right? In most cases, when the other teams in the top of the West are there at the top, the LSU, the Alabama, the Auburn in some cases, and in the past couple of years, you've had Texas A&M up there, right?
Oh, my God.
You don't see South Carolina playing Texas A&M.
Stop talking about
South Carolina
has never won the Eastern Division of the SEC.
Let him finish, Wiley.
Is not the elite
Come
team
on,
of
Wiley,
the
let
SEC.
Him
yet again.
What are you talking about? South Carolina has never won the SEC East, but you want to keep comparing South Carolina?
You're not even listening to his argument because you're not letting him get out of his point. Tony, Wiley, you're not even taking the time to even compute the point that I'm trying to put to you. So even if I said South Carolina, Georgia, or anybody else in the SEC East, regardless if they're a contender or not, you don't see them facing the top teams in the other division, period. So I don't even have to bring up South Carolina. Let me bring up
Are
Georgia.
Are you
going to
tell me
that?
Florida doesn't play LSU every single year?
Hold it. You're not even listening to what I said in the original point.
Every single year.
Stop it.
All right, watch.
Stop it right now.
Let me finish.
Okay? Stop it right now. I said from the beginning that Florida is one of the few teams in the SEC East that plays the top teams in the SEC West.
Tennessee plays Alabama every year. That is the biggest rivalry in the SEC. The third week in October is a classic.
Hello, panelists.
And Georgia plays Auburn every year. Auburn plays Georgia every year.
That is a classic. What are you talking about?
All right, Wiley.
Let him finish. I disagree with you now, James, but I'm going to let you finish.
Did I even mention Tennessee in my quote-unquote argument?
Tennessee used to be an elite team in the SEC East. They have won the SEC East several times. South Carolina has never won the SEC East. So how the hell can you talk about South Carolina but say you don't want to talk about Tennessee?
This is why you can never have an argument with an SEC fan, because this is what you get.
Tennessee is an elite team in the SEC. Yes, they may not have been doing well the last couple of years, but Tennessee, Florida, and Georgia are the elite East teams. South Carolina has never been an elite team in the SEC.
I agree with you, Wiley. I want James to finish this point. I'm trying to understand what your point is.
How do you agree with somebody? You're not even letting him finish his point. Don't you get it?
No, I never said I agree with it. I don't agree with what James has said so far, but I want him to finish his point. I'm just very curious to see what his point is.
If he hasn't finished his point, there's nothing to agree with or disagree with. You're what you're saying is
no, I never said I agree with James. I agree with Wiley. James just said that.
You're disagreeing with somebody who you don't even know what his point is.
I know the points that he said so far. Hold up. I know the points that he said so far. He's saying that a team in the East is not going to play an elite team in the West, and I disagree with that completely.
No. Let me stop.
Let him finish. I'm going to see what you guys say.
Name an elite team in the East.
Wiley, let him finish. Let him finish. Let him finish. Let's see what he has to say.
Stop it. All right? Now, let me just still add a little thing in here then. Since y'all want to bring up Tennessee, right? Then let's bring up Tennessee this year. Okay.
Oh, see? You want to stick with this year. You're talking in the past on everything else, and then you want to come to Tennessee for this year?
No. Why are you trying to add stuff in? That's the thing about
No, because you are trying to say South Carolina is an elite team in the SEC East, and that's a lie. South Carolina is not an elite team in the SEC East.
Wiley, I'm gonna put you back on. I'm gonna let James finish his, and I'm gonna put you back on. All right.
This is so. All right,
say what you gotta say.
All right, now what I'm saying is
write it down, Wiley. Remember it. Write down what he says.
Okay, now. My original point is that these top teams that are in the SEC do not have a similar in-conference schedule in comparison to every other conference. Now, let me make an example, okay? You have your top teams in the SEC West, correct?
Right.
Let's say Alabama, Auburn, and LSU, right? Now, LSU plays the Georgias in place of Floridas, and sometimes, not this year, but sometimes plays a South Carolina or in Tennessee, which is amongst the tops in the SEC East, right? You want to take Alabama, right? Did they play Georgia this year? Did they play South Carolina this year? Did they play Missouri this year?
No.
Right? Okay.
No.
So what I'm saying is this, is that you can't put the comparison as SEC playing tough teams week in and week out when not every single team in the SEC plays a tough SEC schedule year in and year out. Whether they have 12 teams in the conference or 14 teams in the conference. In comparison, the other conferences, and there, when they have two divisions, they, in most cases, play the tougher teams or the ranked team. Oregon will play USC while they have Stanford in their division. Stanford will play either USC or UCLA when they're ranked, even though they have Oregon in their division, and vice versa. And it pretty much happens in the Big Ten as well. But it doesn't really happen in the SEC. It does not. That is my point. You can't have Alabama saying that, oh, man, Alabama plays a great tough schedule within the SEC during the season when they don't play a ranked team in Georgia or South Carolina or Florida every single year. That is my point.
And You done?
Let me piggyback on James real quick because I know what somebody's probably going to say. Up until about 2 years ago, the Pac-10 and the Big Ten, they played everybody in their conference too. The only reason these conferences added extra teams was to be like the SEC, because the SEC got so big where they weren't playing everybody. But the Pac-10 and the Big Ten, they would have to play everybody because that's who was on there. They only had 10 teams. Once they got these 12, and that's only been the past 2 years, is that you're not going to have a team that doesn't play everybody, including the top-ranked opponents. So you could very easily have a year, like I said, you get an Auburn or a Missouri. Like I said, who I really don't think is beat, the teams I think they should beat to be considered in the top 10, like they are right now. And I think Auburn, I mean, they're going to get it next week when they play Bama, I believe. But, like I said, do you see what the point you're saying, Clavel?
Yeah, and I disagree with it. But the thing is,
okay.
Now, hold on.
Now, do you disagree opinion-wise or factually? Because factually, you can't disagree with it because what he's saying is a fact.
All right, it depends. Okay, I'm putting Wiley back on here. And
hold on.
Factually, I'm going to disagree with it.
Tell me which part he said that wasn't a fact first.
No, he's saying that an elite team in the SEC, maybe on one side of the conference, doesn't play an elite team in the SEC on the other side of the conference. I disagree with that. I completely disagree with that. If you want to look at the elite teams in the East. Let's look at the elite teams in the East. What'd you say?
I said it's a fact because they all don't play each other. We know.
Hold on, let's look at the elite teams in the East.
No.
Hold on. Let's look at the elite teams in the East. Florida, Georgia, Tennessee. Okay. All right. Florida and LSU have to play each other every year. Georgia and Auburn have to play each other every year. Tennessee and Alabama have to play each other every year. Every single year. Those are classic games. Those are mandatory
okay,
games
Georgia,
they have to play every single year.
Does Florida have to play Alabama every year?
No.
Does Alabama have to play South Carolina every year?
No, but Alabama has to play Tennessee every year. Florida has to play LSU every year.
Wait, hold on.
Does Florida have
on.
To play LSU every year? Well, I'm about to put Watley back on now. Does Florida
hold
have to play
on.
LSU
yeah, so
every year?
That's where it can turn into a rant. Go ahead. Put it
hey,
on.
Hey.
Alabama
hey.
Played Georgia.
Am I back on?
Yeah.
I'm on.
We hear you.
Okay, now, mute your ass just like you muted me. Mute them just like you muted me so I get to say what I get to say.
All right, let him finish now. Let him finish,
now,
Mike. Let him finish.
Let me tell you how both of y'all are lying and both of y'all are wrong. The bottom line is 10 years ago, Alabama was one of the worst teams in the SEC. Auburn and LSU were dominating the West. You could have made the exact same argument on the other side 10 years from now. We can't say for sure which teams are going to be at the very top every single year. Tennessee has traditionally been a top SEC team every single year for the past 50 years. Tennessee, Georgia, and Florida are the elite East teams. Auburn, Alabama, and LSU are the elite West teams. And all three of those teams play each other every single year. Do they play each other? All three of them play all three of the other ones? No. We have too many teams for them to play all of them because we have 12 teams. We have to get other teams in. But do the top three teams play the top three teams of the other conference? Absolutely. And if you can't see that, then you're blocked as a damn bat.
Okay, one minute. Right. Let me say this. Let me say this. For one, we've heard Tony come on this radio show numerous times and say how sorry Tennessee was and the fact that he's from Tennessee and he knows better than us. Isn't that right, Clauzel?
I don't remember. But Tennessee's not good
right now.
You're lying.
He's come on here numerous times. They're having some bad years now,
times.
But that don't make them not an elite team.
Yeah, Tennessee's considered one of the elite East teams. That's true. Tennessee
he's
is
come on,
considered.
He's come on here numerous times and said how sorry they were with Peyton Manning.
He said that. He said Peyton Manning sucks. But
he said Peyton Manning sucked. But that didn't mean the Tennessee Vols sucked.
Tennessee didn't suck. But he said Peyton Manning sucked.
He said Tennessee sucked.
I said Peyton Manning sucked. I did not say Tennessee sucked.
I'll find it.
But hold on. It's fair to say that Tennessee is considered.
Hold on. Let me ask a question. When you said Auburn was dominant 10 years ago, were you talking about the same Auburn?
I didn't say
10
years ago. I said dominant in the SEC West. They are a dominant team in the SEC West. They have won three national championships.
Okay. Is this the same Auburn that was getting blown out by USC?
Look, I'm telling you, you say what you want. You keep using individual games. I'm talking about teams and the history of the teams. Auburn is a dominant team
in the
SEC West. Tennessee is a dominant team in the SEC East.
In the history of Auburn's team, they were getting blown out by USC. What part of that don't you understand?
They don't play USC.
Okay, but at the time they were getting blown out by USC, they were not the best team in the SEC because when they were getting blown out by USC, the East was dominating the SEC.
All right. Let's talk one at a time, guys. Let's talk one at a time here. Okay.
Did they not go undefeated and everybody said they should have went to the national championship when USC was blowing them out?
Yes. Yeah.
No, that
was
USC
didn't
blow them out
that
year.
You make it seem like the West is always the dominant. No, the East has been dominant for many years. Florida has won four national championships. Tennessee has won a national championship. Georgia has won national championships.
Wait a minute.
They are dominant teams in the SEC East.
Florida has four national championships?
They have three. They have three.
You just said
three.
Don't get into semantics. You know what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they are national champions. The Tennessee Vols are national champions. The Georgia Bulldogs are national champions. We got national champions in our division. How many national champions do you have out there in the Pac-12 except for USC? Name another national champion other than USC in the Pac-12.
Exactly.
I'm a USC fan. I don't do conference like you do.
Exactly.
I only worry about my
you
school.
Can't name one.
I can name you six national champions from the SEC.
You can't name me but one national champion from the Pac-12.
All right, hold on. Let's put James back in here.
Hello?
UCLA?
Let me put James back in here, and everybody let him finish. All right, let him finish. I'm going to let you finish, James, even though I disagree with you, but I'm going to let you finish.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Now, here's the thing. What I'm not disputing about the teams in the SEC conferences, I'm not disputing Tennessee. Okay, one. I'm not disputing LSU, two, and I'm not disputing Florida when it comes to in-conference schedules. That's not my argument. My argument is with those other teams that you bring up, the Georgias, the Auburns, the Alabamas, they do not usually play each other during the season. That is my point. I could care less about Tennessee because Tennessee, regardless if they play Alabama or not every year, they usually play the toughest in-conference schedule all across the SEC. So I'm not disputing that. With LSU, I'm not disputing with LSU because sometimes they play the toughest conference within the SEC, and that's without question. In fact, a couple of years ago, LSU had the toughest schedule from top to bottom, and it wasn't even close. What I'm saying is the Alabamas, the Auburns, the Georgias, and who else is in the SEC East that may contend for the division don't play the other teams that are the toughest teams in the division, period. That's my point.
All right, so Auburn and Georgia. Do Auburn and Georgia play every year?
Auburn and Georgia, but are Auburn and Georgia consistently at the top?
Yes.
Georgia,
you
particularly,
just,
yeah.
You just not said 10 years ago Alabama was the worst team in the SEC. I'm sorry, you said Auburn. My bad.
Auburn's usually around the top of the SEC West. Yes, that's fair to say. Usually around the top of the SEC West.
I would. I don't know if I say that, Carl, though. Come on now, Auburn.
I don't know about it. They are right now. They are right now, and they were 2 years ago. They were 2 years ago. They were around 10 years ago too. So, they were. Cadillac
yes.
like Williams and Ronnie Brown, yeah, they were.
Yeah, you
with Damian
you
Craig,
told,
you remember?
Those are the teams I just told you got blown up by USC, and you guys told me they weren't a top 10 about 15 seconds ago, remember? Forgot about that, huh?
Since Steve Spurrier has come to South Carolina, he has started building South Carolina into a legitimate SEC team. But before Steve Spurrier, South Carolina was like Kentucky. Everybody beat them.
Yep, that is true.
South Carolina is not an SEC elite team. They are building
Hold on. You mean to tell me the best conference in the country has teams that everybody can beat?
Yes,
Kentucky, Vanderbilt. Yeah, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and it used to be South Carolina,
That's funny because the Pac-10 don't have teams that are constantly sorry like that.
Oh, really?
Are you fucking kidding me? Oh, no, you didn't.
Colorado.
Colorado was the first thing that he said about the Pac-10. Wait a minute. Didn't Colorado just join the Pac-10 to make it the Pac-12?
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry, then. All right. Let me say Washington State, then. Washington State, you know. And Stanford really wasn't an elite team. They just became an elite team, if you really think about it.
Stanford just
started. Arizona State. They just kind of became an elite team. Arizona State, Arizona. You know, these teams are just up and coming now.
Hold on, because you're just naming teams now. First of all, hold on, let me stop you.
No, I'm not.
Let me stop you. In the early 2000s,
Oregon State.
Hold on, Carzell. Hold on. Let me stop you. First of all, in the early 2000s, Washington State was good. They finished. They had a couple.
When was Arizona State ever good? When was Arizona ever good?
Arizona State was good when they had Jake Plummer.
Never. Arizona State ain't never been good.
They actually should have went to the national championship that year.
Oh my god.
That's football history.
Hold on. I want to stick back on this
Arizona,
SEC.
Arizona won the national championship. Huh?
I want to stick back on this SEC. All right. And I still disagree with you. I see where you're coming from, James, but I disagree with you. I mean, because when you have Auburn having to play Georgia every year, Alabama having to play Tennessee every year, Florida having to play LSU every year, I mean, it is what it is. Now, I'll say this. Out of all those teams you're talking about, Alabama has the easier schedule. But, I mean, to say that Alabama's not going to play three top 10 teams a year, as of right now, they're still playing three top 10 teams a year. I mean, they had to play Texas A&M. They had to play Auburn. They got to play Missouri probably if they beat Auburn this week. So, I mean, come on now. I mean, it ain't like Alabama's skating to the national championship.
And you got to understand that Alabama has the toughest conference championship game of anybody else in this country. Our conference championship game could be a national championship game.
How these teams in the SEC are constantly sorry, but yet the SEC is constantly the best conference. And no other conference has teams that are like that. Like I said, even Colorado, let me finish. Even Colorado, who Clavel named, has a national championship under their belt. Even they made it to a BCS game.
So how is the SEC that dominant
when Kentucky, Vanderbilt, like you said, Tony, South Carolina,
oh, man,
all these other teams never win anything.
Mississippi State probably has good teams every once in a while. I don't know why you guys keep thinking they're strong.
Oh, just like last year when they were supposed to, like, challenge Alabama last year, you were talking about, oh, watch out for Mississippi
State.
They got blew out, man. They couldn't hang with it. But if they were in the Pac-12, they'd be in the middle of the division. They'd be a reputable team in the Pac-12.
When you name those Pac-12 teams, I can name you a year when those teams were good. You can't name me any year Mississippi State was good.
Gentlemen, my question is very just answer me this question. If your teams are so good, why can't they win the national championship?
Exactly. And it ain't like the SEC. And the thing is about this is it's not like the SEC is like one team or two teams in the SEC are winning the national championship. It's a diverse group of teams that are winning the national championships for the SEC. It's a very diverse group of teams. So you can't
Tell me why all of your other conferences, you send your championship guy out there, but he can't win the national championship. Tell me why.
Y'all always end up beating Ohio State or Texas or some school like that.
Oregon.
Not even Texas when they was good. You know, y'all, you think
answer
they
the question. Why is your Pac-10 team not winning?
I'm answering you right now. You keep yelling, though. You want me to answer it?
Yeah, go ahead. I said
because they don't get a chance to go to those games. They don't get voted in like the SEC teams.
Oh, wow.
When they finally did play the SEC team in the national championship with Auburn, that was a three-point game.
But every year, USC used to be ranked number one. Are you kidding me? Every year.
and they will go to national
USC,
championship.
I think USC benefited. I think USC was a team that benefited from a very weak Pac-10. And I remember Chi-Town Mike used to tell me this all the time. USC benefited from a very whack Pac-10 conference. I mean, only competition they really had was Cal. Cal with Aaron Rodgers. That's the only competition y'all really had.
Hold on, dude. Hold on. I'm not gonna argue against two people. Y'all need to elite it. Either one of y'all need
okay,
to
I'm gonna shut up.
I'm
shut up.
Is not true, and Tony is yellow.
USC has been ranked number one or number two a whole lot more than Alabama has been ranked number one or number two. And why ain't they got as many championships?
USC got 10 national championships. What are you talking about?
Not as many as Alabama. Alabama got like
recently.
15.
We ain't talking about the 60s, nigga. Come on.
Alabama has 12, and you know it, Father.
No, we have more than 12, I believe.
Hold
no,
on
you
a
don't.
Second.
We ain't
now,
talking about
talking
O.J. Simpson years. We talking about
right.
since the millennium. Come on. So,
all right, well, I'm going to bring it.
USC
I
is anyway number
I told,
one
and
number
you
two
that.
Forever.
Hey.
No, they haven't. And I just told you that earlier when I told you I said USC should have went to the national championship over Florida in 2008, and they would have beat Florida that year.
Hello.
Again,
Alabama has 15 national championships. But anyway,
no,
hey, I agree with you on that, Mike. That year when y'all had Sanchez and that defense, I think USC would have beaten Florida too.
No, they wouldn't have.
Clavel, what do you base that on, Clavel?
You didn't even beat your teams. Who did you lose to? You lost to a team. You didn't handle your business. That's what it boils down to. I mean, come on, man.
They lost.
You didn't handle your business. Goodness.
Okay, but I will say. Okay, but when you say that, I would say that Auburn would have beat y'all the year that they didn't get to go when they went undefeated. How can you?
And they would. They would have beat y'all.
Even though USC had blown them out the previous year.
I think Auburn would have too.
Auburn would have beat y'all that year.
With Calvin Williams and Ronnie Brown and
Dick. Did you hear what I just said? I said even though USC had blown them out the previous 2 years, you think they would have came to USC and won?
Who cares about the previous years? It
ain't
about the
previous
years.
Right
now.
That's what I
guarantee you, Auburn would have beat y'all in the national championship that year.
No, you ain't making sense because you don't want
to
admit that Auburn would have beat
y'all. Y'all aren't listening to logic anymore, so I don't want to argue it anymore.
All right, but let me put Wiley back on. I mean, I'm not Wiley, but I'm Bell. Let me put Bell back on. Let him finish.
Hello?
Yeah.
You know, I think y'all need to tone it down a little bit because I could pretty much hear y'all from like 5 feet away if I put my phone away from my ear. All right, now we need to go at the two little points right quick. Number one, this whole thing about this SEC championship being a top five matchup every year, no, it wasn't like that every year. It's only been like that for about 3 of the past 5 years. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Let him finish.
Otherwise, you'll have one team that's a top 5 team, and the other team will be within the top 15. Okay? You can look that up. You don't have to say anything about it to dispute it. Just look it up. Otherwise, I wouldn't bring up that point. Now.
So the SEC East team that plays Alabama for the last 3 years were not a top 5 team?
That's not even what he says. You're not listening, Dale.
See?
That's
what I'm talking about.
I was saying that the conference championship games may as well be national championship games, and he just said that's not true because the teams are not that good. I'm asking you, are you telling me that the SEC East teams that played Alabama in the SEC championship the last 3 years were not good enough in the national championship?
He just now made up a situation in his mind that nobody said. Nobody said what you're talking about, Tony. You just made all that up.
No, I did not
just
make that up.
Hold on a second.
All right, let me, I'm letting you finish, man. Wiley, you got to let him finish. I understand where you come from, Wiley. I agree with you. I just don't. I don't agree with. Well, I wouldn't agree with James, but I want to. I'm gonna let him finish. I'm gonna let him finish what he has to say, and then I'm gonna rebut.
What he just said was a fact. There's nothing to disagree with. He just said you could look it
hold
up.
On.
That's
so
a fact.
Why do you think I said look it up? Who played each other in the SEC championship game in 2011? Who played each other in the SEC championship game in 2010? Who played each other in the SEC championship game in 2007? Those are the ones.
Oh, you just skipped 2009 and 8, though?
No. Here, the point was, the original point was that every single SEC championship game might as well be a national championship, and that is false. Because you're not having two top five teams playing each other in the SEC championship every single year. That is a fact.
Well, I mean, a lot of them you are, though, because I know you're looking at what I'm looking at, 2012, 2009, 2008,
2003, 1999. You're pretty much going with what I'm going with, but why did you think that I brought up the point about 2011, 2010, and 2007? Because y'all are talking about every single year. No, that's not it. Please try again. Now, second point is this. The reason why y'all like to bring up the SEC as far as, like, you know, being ranked and all of that is that every time at the beginning of the season, especially within the last 3 to 4 years, you have at least 3 or 4 teams in the SEC start off in the top 10, regardless of their previous year's result and regardless of what they do in the season. And on top of that, regardless of what they do in the season, the media tries their hardest to keep that team in the top 25 as long as they can. So they could have 2 losses or they could have 3 losses and they will still be in the top 25. While at the same token, there will be teams within the top 6 conferences that will have better records than those teams that have the 3 losses and the 4 losses and not be ranked in the top 25.
All right. Well, it is what it is. I mean, people, you want to make it an SEC bias, you go ahead, man. I mean, I'm about to head out to the club in a minute, but I'm just saying that, you know, it is what it is. I mean, the SEC is clearly the best conference. It's been that way. I mean, I can't argue with it no more. I can't because I'm about to go to the club with my wife. So, I mean, it is what it is. The SEC is the dominant conference. I mean, it is what it is.
Look at what I want y'all to do.
I'm about to head out, man.
Listen. What I want y'all to do is look at the results of the SEC since 1992. In other words, the last 20 years, 19 out of 20 years, we have had a top 5 team playing for the SEC championship. You tell me another conference in America that can say that.
Dude, first of all, the Pac-12 and the ACC don't even have a conference. Well, the Pac-12 just now had a conference championship.
Just answer the question.
All right.
In the last
all right,
guys,
come on, man. Y'all have a good one.
You genius. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There was no conference championship. ACC was the only conference that had one. Smart guys.
And that's why
listen,
y'all got to the Pac-12 championship to begin with is because y'all didn't even have to play a national conference championship. That's why USC got there every year. That's why Florida State got there every year is because y'all didn't even play a damn championship game. We had to play an extra game to get the national championship.
Why would that matter if they play everybody during the season anyway, smart guy?
Because if you're undefeated during the regular season and then you got to play a championship game and you lose that game, then you don't go to the national championship.
If you didn't have to play a championship game,
you were automatically in the national championship. We had to play a championship game every year.
My goodness, this cat won't let me finish. The reason that they don't have a national championship and didn't was because they played everybody in the regular season. So there was no need for a conference championship. They play everybody. Don't you understand that?
That's because you only had 10 teams. When you
exactly.
only have 10
exactly.
teams in a 12-team series, it's easy to play everybody. Exactly. We are a bigger conference. My point is, because we are a bigger conference, we have a better, we have a larger selection of teams. We can't play them all.
Okay, so
when you guys get to not have to play